Blog Talk Radio.
Peace. Good morning, everybody. Good early afternoon, shall we say, man. Welcome to Ampu Law, the Street Gospel, number 19. And we're on number 19 already, man. So, phenomenal show. I know when I'm going to be in the zone. So, this one here is definitely going to be one of those zone times because we're talking about something that everybody likes or loves and wants and respectively. So, today we're going to get into Show You the Money. This is lesson two of the 12-week, little 12-week radio show that I'm putting together, just to walk you around the wheel in order. So if you did not tune in to last week, I suggest you tune in to last week to get lesson one, which was the psychology of astrology, which I do a quick recap on. All right, but before we get started, of course, visit the website www.myastrologycoach.com, which is Ampool Astrology, same website. Couple things, a lot of things going on. One thing is pay attention to the daily blog. If you go to the blog every single day, I'm posting something up there dealing with the daily Zohar readings, where I take a portion of the Zohar and I just share it. Phenomenal, just phenomenal spiritual light. A good way to start your day is by putting the Creator first. So that's there. And then also Keisha be releasing something every single day dealing with tarot cards for those that's interested in learning the aspect of tarot. Tarot is nothing more than Torah. It's just a way that we cleverly depicted the personality types of the cosmos, and we're going to get into that and why that's important. All right, so we have the daily Zohar reading every single day. So if you, I post it on Facebook and I put it on my Twitter. Facebook, I'm Noble Ampool Galileo. On Twitter, I'm Ampool Astrology. You can also check Hip Hop Astrology on Twitter as well. All right. New thing on the website called Learn. So myastrologycoach.com, you can go to the Learn tab. All right. On the Learn tab, you'll see a couple things. You'll see one thing that'll light up that says Associates Course. All right. If you click on that tab that lights up called the Associates Course, that is a five-month course that we have. My astrology coach teams up with IPORM, which is the Prime Minister's company, Inner Peace and Outer Reflection Ministry, where we have decided to create an astrology associates course. All right, enrollment for that is February the 9th, and then you graduate in July, and we hold the first graduation in Denver. So everybody would be invited to come out to Denver for the grand celebration. All right, and of course, you'll receive an associate certificate from MACU, which is My Astrology Coach University. All right. This way, those of you who are serious about approaching the craft of divination and helping people, this is the course for you. All right. And what I like to do is I wish I could employ people, but what I'm great at is, I believe I'm good at, is helping people come out. And I'm just willing to share my platform with thousands of listeners. What you do with it is your business, all right? I'm willing to share. And I think you've seen that through the years of my astrology coach, from the people who were here to people who are no longer around, all right? And what you choose to do with it is your opportunity. I'm willing to give you that opportunity is my point, okay? So it's going to be a five-week course. You would go through Astro 1, which is 4 to 5 weeks. When you finish that, you'll go over to Astro 2, which I never taught Astro 2, and you will have the, you will have a beautiful opportunity to, for 4 weeks, learn with a mental giant. The Prime Minister will be teaching Astro 2. You will have, I mean, literally this dude, mine is amazing. I have to keep telling people that. You know, people try to get at me all the time and like, hey, I want you to come here. And I say, yeah, well, that's good, but Minister Ju can do. I'm not really familiar with Minister Ju. I said, listen, I'm telling you, this guy right here is a genius. You know what I'm saying? So he'll be getting into Astro 2 and showing you some aspects of the inner and outer reflection of planets, all right, and the method in which I can honestly say I've never seen anyone do it his way. But I never stock my bookshelf up with a lot of astrology books anyway. It's only two people that I read astrology from, and then I listen to this guy right here. All right. So Astro 2 is there. Once you finish that, you'll come over into Kabbalistic Astrology 1. Then we have something, Kabbalistic Astrology 2, never been taught before, and 3, never been taught before. And 3, I am going to show you certain techniques called chamber of protection and the eighth sphere prayer of protection, certain things you should know that's practiced heavenly in Western mysticism, all right? So this is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal course. Those of you who have already attended an Astro 1 or a Kabbalistic Astro 1, if you want to continue, and I suggest that you do, and you never received a certificate, first get with us, and you get the certificate. But at the same time, too, there'd be an entry exam where, you know how I roll, especially those of you that have been in Kabbalah course, It'd be an entry exam in which you have to pass that give you your proper grade placement. If you never studied with us but you already know astrology, we teach it differently, so you have to start at the very base because we deal with it in a different perspective, as you can see. All right. Again, if you already took these courses, we just have to give you an entry exam to see if you can handle it. Especially, I'm gonna say it again, especially those of you in Kabbalah. This is I get excited with this particular course because we get into a different dynamic of we get into the cosmic language of the Creator Himself when we deal with this, when we deal with Hebrew. All right, so you know I come from the top of the head. I want to see how fast you can remember it. I don't need you. I don't need you going back to your notes. When I say the number 9, you tell me that corresponds to the 9th Sephiroth, which is Yeset. If I say foundation, you say Yeset. If I say 13th path, you say Gemil. If I say the 14th path, you say Temperance. You see what I'm saying? If I say Dallas, you say 14th path. All right. So if I say door, you say Dallas. All right? That's how it goes. And it's back, 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 back. And I want to see if it's in your memory. It has to be inside of your being. All right? That's the challenge, is to wake your brain up. So I love this course over here. I'm going rapid fire, and I challenge you to come and take it. All right? Because the old tradition, we used to teach you from mouth to ear. We didn't write things down. But the sages were so wise, and they first seen what was called a dark age coming, when spiritual knowledge would get lost in a sense. Would not even get lost. It would not be the mainstream. Had to encode certain things and put it away and wait for, truth be told, wait for the Aquarian age to really come in so the information can start to surface again. And that's why I thank the Creator for allowing me the opportunity to come in as a major Aquarius within the Aquarian age. And I thank the Creator for showing me signs such as the famous group, the fifth dimension, the age of Aquarius, and that zodiac chart on their album cover is exactly how my chart is set up. Cancer on the ascendant, Aquarius on the eighth and ninth house, and that's exactly how my chart is. So I'm very, very thankful for being able to see that opportunity. All right, and that's the whole goal of this series, is to help you see yourself in the grand scheme of things, all right, and what we call the Mazaluk, the constellation. And we're going to get into what that is a little later, all right? So I challenge you again to visit the website, My Astrology Coach. Click on the Learn tab. Also, click on the Associate's Course to read up on it. Also, when you click on the Learn tab itself, because the Associate's Course is just a tab that pop up, but when you click on the Learn tab in of itself, you'll see something that's coming. We're going to have Zohar classes that will be coming up, and we'll also have something I want to put together for the men called Spiritual Ethics for Fathers, where we just have conversation amongst ourselves on spirituality, becoming better men, better husbands, better brothers, in a sense. All right, so that will be coming soon. And Vincent, I'm gonna really get y'all into some into this Old Testament and deal with this Hebrew language and whatnot, man. But so just be on the lookout, man, because we're gonna have the Zohar studies that's coming, real, real phenomenal. And those type of studies right there, it won't necessarily be as rigorous as 5 months, but it may be something that I do every six weeks, and then the information changes from 6 weeks to 6 weeks, and you just get in where you feel like you need to get in at, okay? So that'd be there. Also, click on the shop tab, man, all the DVDs. A lot of people don't know that we have DVDs and whatnot, but we have DVDs on every single Zodiac tab. I think one of the best DVDs, I may have took it off. I was going to say the Astrology 102, if it's still there, you go ahead and grab it. The cover says the only Zodiac DVD you ever need, because that's something that comes with the course. But phenomenal information on the Zodiac and what we do is over at the storefront. All right, so click on the shop tab and knock yourself out. Also, the self-activation workbook created by myself and Niharu, perfect tool to help you master yourself, because it's designed for you to answer questions about yourself. What sign is the sun in? What house is the sun in? The meaning of that house, things like that. So if you want to know thyself, the ancient axiom, know thyself, get the self-activation workbook, because versus learning astrology, the vast components of it immediately, because the first thing you're going to do is like, okay, well, I'm a Leo. Well, I want to see what Leo means. Okay, my moon's in Virgo. Okay, what does Virgo mean? You know, you want to see how it relates to you. Nothing is more interesting than knowing you. Like, when you first get into it, the first thing you do is you go to your zodiac sign. You don't necessarily read up on other zodiac signs, and rightfully so. The self-activation workbook is catered for you and every single planet in your birth chart. Very important. All right? Me and Keisha is back doing a double dose on private consultation, so you can go to the consultation tab, and we also up on Fridays. We had free readings last Friday, phenomenal show, excellent energy. We'll be up this Friday, 12 noon, so if you'd like a free consultation with me and Keisha, call in Friday the 12 noon. In fact, call in 15 minutes prior, 11:45 is the earliest that we can start taking phone calls, and so call in at 11:45 a.m. Eastern time, all right? I'm back doing consultations as well. I took about a year off, but I'm back, so you can click on the consultation tab for that. Me and Keisha also has something called the Astro Tarot Network, so if you visit the website, click on memberships, and only for $45 a month, you get a 30-minute consultation with Keisha every single month, and then you'll get various astro reports, and you'll be and not only personal astro reports to your own birth chart, but you'll also receive conference information. Sometimes I send out audio reports, and I have something with the network called Network Wednesdays. Wednesdays is the days that, you know, by network membership only, that we in conference calls, and we actually talking about the energy that's going on, making sure you understand it, but also indulging in spiritual conversation. And it's always great. It's very important that we center our minds on the creator and vastness of spirituality. Because then only thing you can do is start to polarize and magnetize the creator's beneficent energy to you when you're in constant conversation about God. That's why I love Minister Jew so much, because that's all we talk about in every single aspect is God. Okay. What else we got going on? Spirit of Film is live this up next week on the 24th online presentation by the Prime Minister. I didn't said it enough. This dude should be teaching college courses, film courses, with the psychology of making films. This is what this is about. It is really, the spirit of film is really called, it's really the spiritual psychology of filmmaking. All right? So you want to tune in for that, visit the website, click on the events tab, and you'll see that there. And just follow the link in and take you where you need to go to read up on it. All right? Of course, we are doing the spring equinox, man. We 2014. We in New Orleans. I ain't going to even talk about New Orleans again. New Orleans is very important. I always talk about it. We in New Orleans in 2014. Don't play yourself and be like, okay, well, we got like 5 months, 6 months, whatever. I can make it, because I'm going to tell you what happens. When you make a step towards spiritual development, your ego, subconscious mind, creates a polar opposite effect called an event that suddenly pops up, and you have to pay some extra money out of your pocket. You wasn't expecting that expense, so therefore you can't make it. I advise you to register first, and then we have an open policy where, listen, send in $50 every month or whatever you can. That way when it comes up, you already got $300 down on it. You only owe $50 more. You see what I'm saying? Is you there already? You see what I'm saying? So get your ticket there, because you do got to get to New Orleans. Figure out how you're going to get there. A lot of people, y'all need to get hit to the mega bus. The mega bus is majorly cheap on traveling. All right? So look into the mega bus and how you can get down to New Orleans. All right? Specifically if you're in that Midwest area, Tennessee, Texas, that part of the country, I know they got some routes that'll get you in there, all right, even from Atlanta, all right. So look into that, man. Do not miss out on it, all right. Also, be on the lookout for a cognitive mapping tour with the Prime Minister in May, where he's going to take you to Atlanta. You're going to go into the Federal Reserve Bank, see how that money is made, touch it to help you really accumulate the things that you want in life, and then you're going to walk through a prestigious neighborhood so you can touch it, smell it, and everything, just so you can, you know, you're going to just take yourself to the future, and then you're going to end it with what's called a diamond meditation on one of our ancient sites in the ATL area and whatnot, man. So that's going to be a phenomenal tour, first of its kind. Very proud of that young man with that. It's brilliant, you know what I mean? So just be on the lookout for that. That'll be sometime in May. That'll be on the events tab, and we update you with that as soon as it's there. And last but not least, Two things, Center Friday Show. Last but not least, check out the website for all of you that's into music. But if you want to learn what we're talking about and see how it plays out in the physical star's life, visit the website hiphopastrology.com. The Prime Minister's over there, man, and that. And he's showing, he dropped something today on Kobe Bryant. And why Kobe Bryant is so great is because he was born at the time where the sun was very close to a star named Regulus in the solar system, which is said to be the most beneficent star in all of the heavens, for real, it's called the Little Ruler, Regulus, all right, which just ingressed last year into 0 degrees Virgo, but it was a very long time. It was marked at 29 degrees Leo, okay? So if you got anything in a Leo, late Leo, early Virgo, you are a regulator, mound up, all right? So let's get into it here. Last week, we talked about the psychology of astrology, and we talked about how your ascendant, the sign that is rising when you were born, played. It's the first thing that we're looking at because it's predicated at the time of your birth. So the first thing that we're looking at in astrology, okay? And that constellation that's there, when you look at a chart, when you look at your own chart, I always tell people, go to astro.com because their charts are very clear and they're color-coded, red lines, blue lines, green lines. It's just not all, you know, all junky and compiled in there. It's really nice and clear. And you look at on the left-hand side, which will be on a wall clock, that will be 9 o'clock. That's your ascendant. That tells you the constellation that's on the ascendant tells you what zodiac sign was rising at the time of your birth. And that's like how it looks like how the sun is rising in the morning, how that's important because it marks the new day. Well, this constellation is very, very, very important. All right? Very important that we know this because it gives you it's the first order of the day. That's why it's the first house. All right? So when we're looking at Aries rising, go through them real fast. The person, the most important, I want to talk about what the person holds really valuable to them in the psychological makeup. These are the Aries rising people are the people who are just bona fide leaders and warriors. They must go, don't step in their way at whatever they choose to do, all right? Taurus is going to be about finances. And this is super values or things that they deem to be of value, antiques, things like that, anything they deem to be of value. This is a very rich monetary thing. Gemini is going to be about expressing their truth in some form of communication, writing, speaking, and even teaching. Some form of communication, expression of the truth here is very important to the Gemini native on the ascendant. Rapping, something, all right? Cancer is about all family first, very sensitive to family, okay? Leo is going to be about love. It's going to be about children as well. So it has a family component to it. There's love, romance, and children over here and their own creativity as well, and even the arts, the dramatic arts being on stage. Virgo here is sensitive about their work, very critical about their work. They, too, have something to say and even write. And being involved maybe in some type of charitable type of organization where they really are a caring person about health. So that's very important to them. Libra, they're here to – y'all got relationship karma with Libra rising. You're here to be in relationships, but your seventh house cusp is total opposite. It got Aries over there, which don't make sense. So your whole chart is upside down. But truth be told, it's really all the polar opposite signs are on the opposite houses to give you a full color, a spectrum of what creation is all about. So I applaud you for selecting to come in with a Libra rising. So it's about the values of relationships is the key here. Scorpio is all about the loyalty, the power, and the highest aspect of sharing the resources here, all right? Sagittarius is definitely the truth seeker as well. And the native here, they love truth more than Gemini. They love philosophical truth. They too have a lot to say here. So their values are centered around the expansion of your consciousness, as we call it. Capricorn, ascendant, these people are very business-minded, very serious in their approach, and it's all about success for them. It's all about success for them when you're dealing with the Capricorn on the ascendant. all right, prudent, and also may have some things to work out with father, but learning how to become a great parent is what Capricorn Ascendant is about, similar to its polar opposite, Cancer. Aquarius, these people value humanitarian efforts all day and even technology, but their core is about doing what's right for humanity. And last but not least, Pisces, the one who has sacrificed himself for you. That Pisces on the ascendant, this native is very spiritual, and it's about really it's some form of escapism, but it is an escapism to the Creator. All right, being in tune with the divine world, because Pisces is the most psychic out of all the vibrations. They get information from a world before it manifests in the physical reality called Earth. So therefore, since the information is coming from the God source itself. Okay, so this native here is extremely, extremely sensitive. All the water signs on the ascendant, you are extremely sensitive people, and you have to be extremely careful on who you hang around, all right? And your daily activity is very important that you cleanse on the daily. So that's just a general gist of the psychology of the 12 signs, all right, on the ascendant. Go back to last show if you missed that, all right? I want to do a Venus recap because Venus is in Capricorn. She got in Capricorn on November the 6th, and she'll be there all the way to April the 6th. Now, look at that. We have 5 months of Venus in Capricorn. All right. Now, it's important for you to identify where Capricorn is in your chart, because for 5 months, this is rare because Venus is going to do this retrograde thing. She don't take that long. Usually, she can be out of the zodiac sign in a month. She's closer to the Earth. It takes the Earth 30 days. You know, what appears is that it's every month for us is approximately 30 days. And that's not the sun going through a zodiac sign. From our perspective, it looks that way, but it's really how long it takes the Earth to go through one. But since Venus is closer to the sun, Venus moves through a zodiac sign faster than 30 days. All right? So for her to be in the sign for 5 months, and she on average moves through that sign in less than 30 days, that is something phenomenal that is taking place here. So this gives us the opportunity. Venus represents your balance, your love, what we call your homeostasis, right? Your harmony, your moolah, your money, baby. That's Venus, right? The universal principle of it. And I said your relationships, your marriage, your close partnerships, even your close friendships, and even can be denoted as your open enemies as well. Now, Venus in Capricorn again represents the prudence, the success, the discipline it takes to climb the mountaintop one step at a time and get all the way to the top like the mountain goat that's depicted for Capricorn. So Venus represents money when it rules Taurus, and Taurus is an earth sign, and Capricorn itself is an earth sign. These two have something in common. So therefore, it's easy for the money aspect to get the flowing here. All right? Now, when Venus rules relationships in Libra, and Libra and Capricorn, they square each other naturally. What is a square? I'm poor. I'm new to astrology. Well, a square would just simply look like 3 o'clock. Well, what's 3 o'clock? Well, just imagine one planet at 12 o'clock and another planet at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock forms a 90-degree angle, one horizontal and one vertical, right? So the hands of the clock. So that 90-degree angle. So these constellations of Libra and Capricorn square each other. So Venus here is at, she's at a good position from her home in Taurus, but she's at a square from her home in Libra. Now, this is not bad because the squares have something in common. Capricorn is the beginning of the winter solstice, and Libra is the beginning of the fall equinox. Thus, this is a time that we have great celebrations when the sun is in these regions, okay? So there's something in common here, although it is a square. The best square example on how to master your stars is understanding the beautiful relationship between Jay-Z and Beyonce. One's a Virgo, one is a Sagittarius, both born on the number 4, and the sun that day was in the constellation 11 degrees Virgo for Beyonce, 11 degrees Sagittarius for Jay-Z. So they square each other exactly to the T. I mean, a perfect 90-degree angle. Traditional astrology says, hey, man, this ain't too good, you know. But if you understand the common denominator that them two come at the end of the season, that they're expressing the sun's energy in the same capacity almost, All right. One is just detail orientated and work her tail off, Beyonce, and one is just very clever and bright with words and just, you know, has an expansion out of the wazoo as far as the mind, Jay-Z. But they both come at the end of the season. One comes at the end of the summer. The other one comes at the end of the fall, you see. So the energy is the same. So this is not a bad thing with Venus and Capricorn. So we need to understand this is going to show us, Capricorn, where we can be successful at in our life. This is the constellation of success. Let's focus on the high end. Hard work and success. Venus is the planet that represents the beauty, the money, the music, the art, the fine food, all right, the relationships. All right, so now we have an ability to have successful finances and successful relationships. Wow. The first thing a lot of people are concerned about in our lives, respectfully so, is I want to know what I'm going to make some money, what job is my path so I can make the right money the way I want to make it, and I want to know if this person is the right person for me. When is this person coming in my life? You know what I'm saying? These are our two primary concerns, respectfully so. These angles are very sensitive in your chart when you look at what's called the cardinal cross, and I get into that another time. All right? So we have the ability here to focus on the primary things with Venus and Capricorn, money and relationships. All right? It really should be relationships first and money, but the zodiacal order says money because Taurus comes before Libra. All right? And relationships. Now, Venus represents peace. Very important to understand what peace is. What is shalom? What is peace? All right. I often say that shalom is shin is fire. Lamed corresponds to all of the 22 Hebrew letters correspond to a cosmic force in creation. Shin is fire. You know, when you get mad at somebody, you be like, shh. And then what they say, don't you shush me. Who are you shushing? We don't like to be shushed, right? We do that out of anger. Shh. That's that fire, right? Lamed, shalom, lom, el. Lamed represents the constellation Libra. So that's balance in a relationship. Shalom, mom, mim, mother, mommy, corresponds to water. So when you have fire on one side, Libra in the middle, and water on the other side, shalom, peace, represents a balanced state of your fire, your anger, your aggression, or your motivation, and a feminine force to nurture that and be able to ground it and bring it in this reality. Someone who is balanced with the fire principle or male and female energies in their body is at peace. That's what peace represents, all right? The cosmic principle that's at work here. We need to really understand the dynamics of this, all right? So, let's go through the wheel real fast for you if you have Venus and Capricorn in these areas. If it's in the first house, there's Capricorn on the first house, Venus is there, we're talking about. Then again, this is talking about you need to put yourself first. This is about, we call this physical appearance and personality. A lot of people can pick up on your personality based off your rising sign, all right? I call this the house of action, how you get things started. Since this is the first house, it's the first order of the day that you need to be thinking about. How you're going to be successful and get the party started. Stop procrastinating, all right? Don't get frustrated with Capricorn energy because Capricorn energy is slow. It's grandmom and grandpa. It's not like Mars and Aries that wants it fast. It wants to take its time and walk down the hill, all right, and not run down the hill type of thing, all right? If you have this on the second house, man, oh boy, this is a great placement for you to concentrate on that moolah because Venus traditionally rules the second house when it rules Taurus. So this is, I can't even get into nothing else. You have Capricorn on the second house. You need to be focusing in on your bread, on your money, all right, the things that you value. If you have it in the third, communication is going to help you at this particular time and possibly even traveling, moving around a little bit. Not necessarily out of the country, but you may have to travel a little bit. You may need to get on your email blast. You need to do some form of talking, all right, to get on your thing. And even if it's at work, start communicating a little bit more because you may get a promotion, all right? Because remember, Capricorn represents ambition and success, all right? It's at the top of the chart. All right. If you got it in the fourth house, this is bringing some balance and love inside of your home life. All right. This is a love for the ancestors. They're with you at this time, and it's just, again, this is literally physically inside of your home. All right, this is just a very loving, calming, peaceful energy. Which, truth be told, from what I'm studying, this is what we call the first mitzvah, the first law. The first law in all of creation is to create something called shalom bat, which means peace in the house. I said, wow, man. I get baffled about the Hebrew thing because I always see myself in the story. And that's why I posted something the other day on Facebook. Like, you ever been a part of a spiritual system? You were already doing the thing that when you later found the spiritual system, you were already doing those things. That shows you that inherently it's inside of you. It's a DNA implosion that happens. The information is inside of you, literally. So the things that you start to do start to reflect systems of spirituality that the many sages around the world recorded and already written down. So when you come in my house, the first thing that you see, because I got an archway that separates the living room from the next room, I have something called it literally says Shalom Bat, all right, and which simply means peaceful in the house, all right, peace in the house. This house should be peace. May this house may be a house of peace and blessings, all right. And I said, wow, so Capricorn, Venus in Capricorn on the fourth house is bringing peace through relationships and finances in your home. And I'm going to do this too. This is going to challenge a lot of people, man. If you don't, a lot of things they say that, some sages teach that the things that we don't have in life is because truth, and we're frustrated about, truth be told, is because you're not at peace. You don't have true peace in your life, all right? And when you're frustrated, you are depressed, you're really mad at God at that particular point. And you need to check yourself. And we can get into this. It's a whole other dynamic, but it's very interesting. Let's move over to the fifth house. Capricorn in the fifth with Venus here. This is very loving. I'm a sucker for Venus and Leo. Venus in the fifth house type of frequency. This is hard work doing with children, but the children should not be all that stressful at this particular time, even though Capricorn has a Saturn type of feel, because Capricorn is traditionally ruled by Saturn, which is sometimes restriction and karma and all these bad things. But again, it represents ambition and success and taking your time. This is an excellent time for you to engage your children in the arts, since Venus is the arts, and dine with them, have fine food with them. Just an excellent, excellent, excellent tool right now for children if you have Capricorn in the fifth. And your love life may increase too with Venus in the fifth, and be very romantic at this time, and take your relationships potentially to the next level of dealing with some success. All right. Now, given the fact that we're retrograding, remember these are areas that we have to go back and fine tune. Sometimes retrograde breakups can mean the end, especially a retrograde breakup with dealing with the planet Venus. It can be it's a done deal. All right. So again, we got to remember there's a current, there's a tunnel effect called a retrograde that's spinning and hitting the earth that just simply states that we need to go back and revise these areas, all right? And if you can identify them, and then start working on the success factor of it, all right? Capricorn in the sixth house, this is day-to-day work. You're promised success, but you're definitely going to work hard every single day. Don't think for 1 minute that you're going to get the big break. Not that you can't, but it's definitely going to take everyday endurance to get it, all right? So this is phenomenal right here for the working element, all right? I don't see nothing outside. If it's a relationship, then it's a relationship that helps you propel inside of your work. This is when you meet a lover inside of your, you know, you at the job, you at the hospital, and then, you're doing your thing, you know what I mean? And that's just an old story of me playing something back, you know. But it comes from work. All right, the work that you do every single day, not necessarily the work that you aspire to do. It's your day-to-day work. It's your job, all right? But see, there's balance and homeostasis inside of the job as well, you know what I mean? So this may be an excellent time for promotion, all right? Especially those of you that have any aspect of Jupiter to Venus and Capricorn right now. How to identify that, I have to get into that another time. Or if I have time today, I will. All right, on the seventh house cusp, wow, this is great. This is very similar to the second house cusp because now Venus is at home. This is a time for you to bring your relationship to perfection. You have a five-month window to focus and balance your relationship. This is really an excellent time for you potentially to renew your vows, especially And I ain't going to even say potentially. I say it is. Even if the relationship is in turmoil, but there's genuine love there, that represents that some work needs to be done, hence the retrograde. And if you love the person, then why not? So you need to neutralize that negative current, and then you need to, once it's dead, then you need to do a transplant and implant the new frequency of a renewal of vows within this pocket of space and start to move forward. You have a five-month window to have phenomenal relationship experience right now. This is good, all right? Capricorn in the eighth house is very similar. This is joint finances. However, at this particular time, I want you to pay attention to your parents, because Capricorn represents one of the parents. Venus represents money in the eighth house. Traditionally, it's out of pocket by house placement because it belongs at the other. It belongs in the polar opposite, 2 o'clock, right? So if we look at a wall clock, opposite 2 o'clock is 8 o'clock. Well, since Venus in Capricorn is in the eighth house, and Venus traditionally loves to be at 2 o'clock, she's like, wait a minute, I'm out of pocket here. I'm too far away. I'm too far away from my natural home. So I'm about to act up because this is strange to me, right? So since Capricorn represents a parent in the eighth house, it's called the house of death, and Venus is money, this is a time where someone can check out and leave you money. You see what I'm saying? Disconnect the dots. And so you want to make sure all of the estates is taken care of at this particular time. Make sure the estates is taken care of, the thing, the wills, all right, those type of things, the insurance policies, the taxes. You just got to do a tax. Make sure your taxes are straight as well. Because remember, Capricorn does represent government. So I can backtrack a little bit and say, hey, you that got this on the second house, the seventh house, and the eighth house, this could potentially deal with money from the government. They're coming in from the seventh house from court aspect. And in the eighth house, they're coming in from the estates. You see what I'm saying? So this does represent government to a T, all right? So in the eighth house, the high side of it is loving the one that you with, obviously, and then you planning for your future, for your own children's estates. You see what I'm saying? And putting things in its proper order, especially those of you who have went through name change or status corrections. You want to make sure that anybody else of your family who had you listed as the name you were born with, you want to make sure that, you know, there's clear communication here to that everything is updated. You see what I'm saying? Because this is Venus. This is money. Capricorn in the eighth, this is talking about money that's coming to you after somebody else died. And then this is also a wonderful placement for potentially for you to get in joint business ventures eventually. But again, it's a retrograde, so look very closely. But Capricorn here represent you will be successful when you have joint business ventures and even if you play with investment. All right? Property for you that's on the second house. I should have mentioned that. And even the fourth house as well. That's a property domain. All right? Let's move over to Capricorn in the ninth with Venus here. This is just a profound love for the exotic. I would taste it. It's a taste for something that's foreign. All right. It's just, again, this is working. This may be a time for you to go back to school and acquire the information that you need to put yourself in an authoritative position. Because Capricorn is the constellation of success. The ninth house region of space is the area where you learn and expand your mind. And it don't necessarily have to be an accredited type of college. But whatever it is that you're interested in exploring and expanding your mind, this is going to show you how to tap into your success, all right? If you're in a relationship here, if it's feasible, plan a trip. If you can't, still plan it, but you may do it at another time. I said plan, not actually do it, but if you can, do it. But plan a trip, and it's going to be a nice trip outside of the country here when you have it here, all right? On the 10th house, this is natural placement home. This definitely deals with work. And if you are an entrepreneur, you need to be putting all your things in the public for these 5 months. The public should not be able to resist you at this time. People see you as a beautiful person. Everything in your presentation is just on point. So don't take the cheap way out. Really dock it up and take the time to make everything look pretty because Venus is about beauty. So make the presentation look beautiful. Because when you come out in the public, you're guaranteed to be successful. This is a winner situation right here with Capricorn on the 10th with Venus there. All right? If you have a regular job, you may be getting some type of promotion. So make yourself look nice as you go to work, and aim. Just aim, and don't be afraid to take that promotion or apply for it, you know, because, again, people in authoritative positions are seeing you as the most favorable candidate in the company. All right? Same thing in the sixth house, all right, but more so in the tenth. Move over to Capricorn with Venus in the 11th. When you have it over here, this is more or less bringing some balance into your friends, man. This is a time where the groups that you're associated with, social networking, anything that deals with technology at this particular time, is going to promise you some success right now. Now, we are in a retrograde, so friends can go south right now. So again, we want to make sure that our communication is clear. And we want to watch how we respond to things, because with Venus in retrograde, that means some of our relationships are going to get tested all across the board, all right? But when it goes forward, it's just showing you the area where you can improve and you need to advance that, all right? So in the 11th house is groups of people, definitely, your friends, all right? Over in the 12th house, this is an exaltation by house placement alone. Venus in the 12th, Venus naturally in ancient times is exalted inside of the Piscean frequency. So Venus in the 12th Capricorn here, this is you. Unfortunately, it's not unfortunately, but what you got to understand here is because Capricorn is the ultimate sign, it's the last earth sign. So it's the final earth bender that promises you all of your earthly success. And Pisces, or the 12th house, the 12th house naturally rules Pisces, is the last water sign. It has nothing to do with the physical world. It is fully, it's Jesus. It's the fish, right? It's the one that says it's about the Father. It's about the Mother. It's about my Holy Mother, Virgin Mother, Goddess, who brought me here, all right? Hope y'all can hear me, because Keisha calling me right now. Give me one second. All right, y'all, I had to make sure I had somebody call me like that's in-house. I'm thinking maybe I've been talking all this time and nobody heard me. All right, so anyway, on the 12th house aspect, this has nothing to do with physical things. Oh, I ain't going to say that, because Capricorn does represent physicality. The way you tap into it is by, and this is through constant prayer and being spiritually aligned with the Most High. All right, you have to go upstairs first and ask to draw it down. So this Venus placement here is just talking about profound spiritual beauty. Now, you may get aloof and be lost in the realm of illusion. And here, I don't want you to engage. I don't never want you to do it, but definitely do not engage in illegal activity, because Capricorn represents government, and the 12th house is the house of lockup. Okay? So do not, and it has sometimes more to do with drugs. So this is a no-no zone for that type of energy, all right? On the highest aspect, the drug thing, when you're smoking it or however you do it, is really talking about you want to tap into a different zone in your mind. Do what you do far as, you know, how you tap into spirituality. I'm not here to judge and say what you can't do and what you should do. All I'm saying is understand that with this particular placement, on the spiritual aspect, you're really chasing God, and you have to be okay with that, and you need to know that. You need to be taking steps towards the Creator with this particular placement. Why? Because then you're guaranteed what the constellation says, success. Okay? So that is Venus in the 12 regions of space for you for these next 5 months. All right? Now, man, what time are we? At 11:48. We are early. This is going to probably be an early show, which is cool, because there's some things I can do around here. It's about showing you the money, right? This week's lesson is about showing you the money. All right, so you want to look at your birth chart, pull it up, open up a side window if you're on a computer, look at it, and you want to identify where you see your ascendant at. You want to move down over one house to the right. So if we're starting at 9 o'clock, that's your ascendant. All ascendants are at 9 o'clock. You want to come down to 8 o'clock. And when you look inside, and that's why you got to be on astro, because then we'd be talking the same language. You would see inside of it in the will, it is say 1, 2, 3. Those are house numbers. You want to look at the slice. It looks like 12 slices of pizza. So you want to look at slice number 2, house number 2. And then when you understand that second line, remember the first line is the AC. That second line, we need to identify the constellation on that second house. Now, this is what you're going to say. But, Pooh, I have 2 signs inside of the second house. I'm going to say, but, Pooh, guess what? Only that second house can only fall on 1 zodiac sign. I don't care if you got 3 signs in the zodiac house. That line is only going to fall on 1 sign. All right? That's all you need to be concerned with right now. All right? Now, what I'm giving you is just the basic components of the setup. There's a lot to go in interpretation that's more, a little bit more complex that I will not be getting into these series. You have to come and really learn it because you'll see in a second. I'm going to show you something. You'll see. All right? So identify the constellation that's there. Now, once you have properly, because it's hard for some people, properly identified the constellation that's on the second house, I want you to identify the planet that rules that constellation on the second house. So let's walk through it real fast. If you have Aries on the second, you rule by Mars. If it's Taurus on the second, God bless you. You're ruled by its natural ruler, Venus. If it's Gemini, it's Mercury. If it's Cancer, it's the moon. If it's Leo, it's the sun. If it's Virgo, it's Mercury. If it's Libra, God bless you again because Venus is at home, it is it's Venus. If it's Scorpio, it's Mars and Pluto, but don't play Mars out. It's Mars and Pluto. If it's Sagittarius, it is Jupiter. Oh, my God. Where you at? Press 1 if it's you. We need to talk. All right, Jupiter. Hey, I'm Sagittarius on the second house. You're supposed to be getting it. All right, I want to know. So if it's Capricorn, it's Saturn. All right, you got some work to do, some hard work to do, but you promised to get it, but you got to work hard. If it's Capricorn. If it's Aquarius, it's Saturn and Uranus. If it's Pisces, it's Neptune and Jupiter, okay? Those are the rulerships. You just identified that. Now, then what you do is you say, okay, well, you look at that planet that rules the money. You look at that planet in the chart. So let me give you a real-life example. Ampu has the second house, Cancer rising, and then I have Cancer also rules my second house. You see? So now Leo is next. Leo is in my second, but it is not the ruler of my second. I have 2 constellations inside of that house, Cancer and Leo. But that line can only fall, because this is mathematics, that line can only fall on 1 sign. All right? I don't care if it's a cusp. I don't care if it's 29 degrees, 59 minutes and 59 seconds, Cancer. Cancer is the chart ruler, or the moon, since it rules Cancer. The moon in Cancer is the chart ruler of those finances. You only have 1 more second to go in arc when you understand the difference. You only have 1 more second to go before this thing would have been in Leo. I don't care about how many constellations in there right now for the technical component of what we need to understand. So, I have the moon rules Cancer. Okay, now here's a real life scenario. Since the moon is my financial ruler, I need to go look at where the moon is in my chart. Snap, the moon's in Aquarius. Now, what does that mean? Well, Aquarius is the sign of astrology. Well, Ampu, you probably can make money at doing astrology. Maybe you have astrological finances. What a coincidence. I have astrological finances. That's how my money is made. Wow. Really? You see? So this is called chart ruler identification. All right? So I just went through it again. Should I do it again? Let me do it again. Your second house cusp, once you identify the sign that is there, you need to locate the planet. You need to understand the planet that rules that sign. Mars rules Aries. So Mars is your financial ruler if Aries is on your second house. I don't care how many planets you have in your second house. See, that's when we get into, because now that becomes a factor too. I know I got Saturn in the second house. And I'm not going to say, well, Saturn, since you're in the second house, you're the ruler of the second house. No. No, that's not how it works. The constellation is Cancer. It's ruled by the moon. Saturn in the second house, Saturn is renting that house from the landlord of the moon. You see? That's how that works. But then you have to factor all of that in, because now those two in my chart happen to be at opposition with one another. So now I got to figure out what the heck that means and what's going on with any other major things that are going on with my moon. Because all of this is going to affect my finances, you see? And we can't get into that here because it's just too much. All right? So if Aries is Mars, if it's Taurus, you Venus. If it's Gemini, you Mercury. If it's Cancer, it's the moon. If it's Leo, it's the sun. If it's Virgo, it's Mercury. If it's Libra, it's Venus. If it's Scorpio, it's Mars and Pluto, more Mars, because Pluto moved it takes too long to move anyway. So Mars. If it's Sag, it's Jupiter. If it's Capricorn, it's Saturn. If it's Aquarius, it is Saturn and Uranus. And if it is Pisces, then it's Neptune and Jupiter. All right? That rules your finances. Okay? Now you identify those planets and see, where is that planet located in my chart? Because your next thing is going to say, but I'm full. I don't have nothing in my second house. I know, because there's only 10 planets in astrology that we're counting. You can't have, and it's 12 zodiac signs, so there's going to be something that doesn't have anything there. All right? But guess what? You have a constellation on that house. In that constellation, I need to find the ruler, because if he's not at home in that constellation, he or she is just simply traveling throughout the sky saying, in my case, let's give a real-life scenario, the moon rules my chart. As far as finances, and it ruins my chart as well because my ascendant. So she's not at home in the second house. So I have to go find her. Where is she at? Because she's about Cancer. She's about home, right? I do astrology from home. What a coincidence, right? So she's about being at home in the sense. I need to go find her because she's going to bring that Cancer energy to wherever she's at. So are you in Leo? No, she's not there. Are you in Virgo? No, she's not there. Are you in Leap? No, she's not there. Are you in Scorpio? No. Oh, there you are. Are you in Aquarius? What you doing in Aquarius? Well, I left home because I wanted to go study astrology so I can bring it back to the home. And this is how we get the finances, because I'm the ruler of the second house. Thank you very much, Lavana. Lavana's the moon. Thank you, Lavana. You see? So you locate that planet in this constellation that it's in. And it will give you some insight on how you will make money. All right? Now, how to determine the things that's going on with it, like I said, that's a whole other science that's taught in the course. All right? So I can't get into that right there because it's literally a lot. There are at least, we call five major aspects, and I count another one. There's six in my book, and then you got some minor ones, all right, that's taking place so you can factor and filter all of this in. All right? Where we at? We at 11:57. Give me a minute. Let me just go to a quick commercial break real fast, all right? And give me some water because we're at the halfway mark, and I'll be right back with you, all right?
Hi, this is Ra from Dallas, Texas. I have received my first Toel Love Fund payment today, and I'm really excited and feeling blessed. I joined the fund back in April. Just as an expression of gratitude, I was looking for somewhere to actively contribute and help someone else out, and I received a turnaround payout a lot quicker than I expected. And I can just say that since I've been in the program, just that act of gratitude has really, really helped my financial situation. Things just aren't as tight as they used to be at the end of the month, and it's just been an overall blessing for me. And so I'm extremely thankful and extremely grateful for all of you members and all of your gifts. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Man, peace, Rob. We appreciate that. And thanks for being a member of the Toel Love Fund. Next up we have Arlene. Can you tell the people where you're from and, you know, how you feel about the fund, Arlene?
My name is Arlene. I'm I live in Baltimore, Maryland. I had, when I first heard about the fund, I was really excited about actually putting the things that I had learned about money and giving into action, and I felt that the 12 Love Fund was the perfect opportunity to do that. This is, I think I originally started back in 2012. This is my second time around with receiving a payout from the fund, and it really does, when you start the act of giving, and you do actually see those blessings actually come back, and actually having it put into action like that really set me on the road to recovery.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great.
And much appreciation to everybody who is in the fund. There was like a quick moment that I had to drop out, but as soon as, you know, things got righted, like the very next day, I started back again.
Oh, man, we appreciate that. Myself, the MAC team, Ampu, Keisha, all of us, and everybody in the fund, man, we just wanted to say thank you, and we appreciate everything that y'all are doing. As far as participation is concerned, man, we really genuinely love y'all, man. So we're going to sign off, and we want to say peace to you all and many blessings. So peace, Ra and Arlene. We thank you for coming on and sharing your testimonial. And you all can check y'all accounts, and the credit will be there. So peace.
All right. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, Pete, man, that was from the 12 Love Fund. That was my first time actually hearing that one. 12 Love Fund is something that we have on the website. You visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. It's your first time joining us. Thank you, myastrologycoach.com. Go to the membership tab, click on the 12 Love Fund, read up about it, man. Every month we just pitch in $13. We cash it out. The Prime Minister selects 4 to 6 people a month and donates the whole pot, divided, obviously, to those recipients where it can go towards a bill. You actually call in and pay the bill yourself, or you send it directly to your PayPal, and you handle the business yourself. So phenomenal fund, been in existence for 1.5 years now. I think the 2-year anniversary is coming up in the early part of this year, so we almost there, almost at the 24-month marker. So kudos to everyone in the 12 Love Fund. I appreciate you, man. It's really a phenomenal thing. All right, so we did the second house rulership, right? Get you inside of that. We did house description, right? That deals with the constellation is there. Now let's get into it a little bit. So let's talk about it a little bit. If you got Mars here, again, we just going, we got, because it means Aries is a ruler. Aries, this Martian thing here again. Potentially how you make money is through security, being enforcement, some form of enforcement, it's physical contact, maybe even sports particularly. But it's anything that allows you to exert your physical energy in a dynamic way, something like athletics and just enforcement, all right? If it's Taurus, man, it's investments in property. The financial IQ is just really phenomenal for you. It's whatever you choose to put your financial IQ at. So that's truly a blessing. It's Gemini again. Your money comes from the communication aspect, right? Writing, speaking, talking, wherever your mind is, understanding where the Mercury placement is at. Dealing with Cancer. It potentially has something to do with the home life. I'm the recipient of that, dealing with something in the home or doing it from home. You see what I'm saying? It has something to do with that. And also the moon, too. Let me not downplay it. The moon rules your intuitive abilities, all right, because it rules dreams. It rules oceans and stuff. So the moon and Neptune are synonymous. These two are, they are a husband and wife team. It's easy. All right, very, very similar to one another. All right, so intuition here. This is why on the Tree of Life, the moon path, the 13th path is the high priestess, All right. So when you have the moon on the finances, you may want to have you a high priestess like Keisha in your corner where you can help facilitate finances. This is how you put your cosmic operation into play. All right. The Sun Leo thing right here, man, that's beyond the power to do anything you want to, because I put a little thing out on Facebook and I had talked about we do not be afraid to use your imagination. And sometimes we got to keep it in the context of imagination, right? And that's the beauty, because the imagination is the 12th house. That's God. That's the realm of the Creator. He creates man and woman in His image, right? Out of His imagination, things come forth. So I say, well, if Hashem, if the Creator had a sun sign and an ascendant sign, what would be His characteristics? And many people gave me marvelous answers. Marvelous answers, right? And I think Kair, coach, hit it on the head. I think he was off by the ascendant just a little bit, but it was on. I think that the Creator, you live in a world where the sun is the primary life giver. You live in a world where ancient priests built monuments called a sphinx pointing at a constellation called Leo. You currently live in a world where the United States government, where they make their laws, the U.S. Capitol building, is dedicated to the star Regulus, all right? So why wouldn't the Creator, when you live in a world where you have Horus depicted as the a god with a sun disk on his head, and you have Amun-Ra, you have all these different various cultures that deal with paying respect to the sun, the life giver, why wouldn't the Creator be a Leo? And you wonder why Judah gets the biggest proportion in numbers in the Bible? You wonder why the tribe of Judah is the most exalted one within this time? The Creator got a Leo, Jah, Ra, right? Jah love man, right? So do not be afraid to use your imagination, because God is all of those and none at the same time. All right? So if you have the sun here, you have the power of the Creator, a lot of fun, a lot of creativity, the dramatic arts, right, being on stage, a daycare even, doing something with the children, a lot of love, romance. It's so versatile. It's the vastness of the Creator. It's the sun. It's the forest. It's beauty, right? This is how you can channel your money. Create whatever you want to create. You have the sun. Or understanding the sun, understanding the power of the constellation of Leo, allows you in the fifth house. These are three things that allow you where God is dwelling. It's the God connection right here. All right? So do anything you want to with that particular placement. I love that placement. Passionate about that placement. All right? Virgo on the 6th, again, writing, workman. This is a hard-working person for money. Day to day, they don't stop. They pay attention to details. All right, so pay attention to your Mercury placement, because it may have something to do with you analyzing things, how you get your data. Particularly may even have something to do with, it's kind of like you're working for somebody, because Virgo is a sign of everyday work type of thing, but you're paying attention to the finer details of things. You're the auditor. You're the one that you're the final checkpoint to make sure everything is rolling smooth. You are the proofreader, all right. So that's there on that. Libra here, partnerships is imperative for you to be financially successful, all right. So you gotta in your own relationship, your own personal relationship has everything to do with your finances, all right. If you got that place in there, Scorpio too. All right, Scorpio too. Scorpio is just a souped-up Libra. Libra is where we make the agreement and decide to come together, but Scorpio shows you all of the aftermath after coming together. Scorpio is a sign of sex. We get together to do what? We get together and we're going to do it, and we're about to create these babies. You know what I'm saying? We're about to set up the estates and leave them things to make sure that they're straight. So it's taxes and things like that. All right, so all that estate planning that I was talking about earlier, the power of metaphysics, Scorpio is investigative, dealing with forensics. Scorpio is easily the deep. Scorpio, Sagittarius, and Leo, to me, are the deepest signs as far as versatility, without a shadow, in my opinion. Scorpio, Sag, and Leo. All right? If you have, moving over to Sag here, man, you definitely, once you take the time to educate yourself in that, what we would call that college setting, and get the necessary certification that represents a higher aspect of education, your money comes in by the abundance, because this is traditionally ruled by Jupiter. So if you have Saturn, if you have, not Saturn, if you have Sagittarius here, don't play yourself. You need to go learn something to come back with to show people that you have mastered a higher aspect of learning in this particular field, because that relates to your finances. All right? Capricorn here, hard work, prudence. You're gonna work hard, ain't taking no shortcuts. And guess what? You may work for the government. So government jobs could help you out. Even if you do government contracting. I know somebody who does government contracting, a web designer. You know, she don't necessarily work for the government, but the government's paying her to be her own boss and do some work for them. All right, so some form of government working. It does show you the high authority. Your money comes from the authority of the land, because that's really a mirror effect to show you that you are the authority of the land. That's why you are the authority. If they're paying you, that means you're an employee, right, to help them operate. So that means that you have that much status in this reality as well. You are the authority of the land financially. So that also means that once you flip it around and you do an entrepreneur type of thing, then you're going to be the authoritative person in that position on the financial aspect, all right? But it's a lot of hard work and no play when you got Saturn ruling your money. I'm telling you, it's a lot of hard work and no play. All right, it's the grind for real. We move over to Aquarius. Technology, you need to be paying attention to the technology sector, having some type of investments in it, all right? Groups of people, too, will do you great. Social gatherings, do you well. But don't miss out on the technology boom, that we're in the technology age. That's what Aquarius is about. The age of Aquarius is about technology. Do not miss out on it. Find you, if you even got to start in what's called penny stock. Whatever you got to do to get started in that arena, technology pays you, all right? So be a part of this booming culture. Create you a mobile application of something that's phenomenal. Team up with a group of scientists and inventors and get patents and do some things. That's where some finances is coming from. You are a scientist when it comes to money if Aquarius is on your second house. That's what it's telling you. Pisces, you know, again, it's a spiritual dynamic. Again, I can't never get beyond that with Pisces. Pisces is so Erykah Badu-ish. It's so mystifying, and it deals with music. You know, Pisces is a musical trait. It's just very gifted. On the more physical thing, you work at a seashore, at a lighthouse, you work at the dock. You know what I mean? But on the higher aspect of really what it really represents, because I'm here to help everybody. Everybody, let's get to our highest potential in this reality. Let's do that. Let's not settle for the less. Let's get to the highest potential of these star frequencies. So the highest potential is I'll be messing with Keisha with this. Right, Keisha, you're the type of woman, you don't need to come out your room. You need to be in your room on a big old canopy bed with the, you know, the bed that had, like, the curtains around it, and you have a crystal ball right there on some pillows, and you're just sitting there with cards and whatnot. So your money has a spiritual component to it, is my point, when Pisces is on the second. I also mean that you could potentially have someone try to steal your money, because Neptune, Piscean energy is secret enemies type of thing. Poison, and you can't see people clearly. So somebody can steal some money from you. So you got to watch that if you got Pisces on the second. Right? Really, really watch that. So these are just general definitions to help you get you started on your way. So let me move on. That's personal. That's personal. See, there's a universal principle there called Venus. Venus, since it rules Taurus, is the money sign. So now, see, we just went around in your personal aspect to get how you would tap into the universal frequency. Because guess what? No matter where Venus is in her chart, she's going to bring that Taurus ray of money. But so it's like, okay, well, I'm Pooh. I thought that the moon rules your chart, Ample. So the moon is your financial ruler when it comes to the money. Yes, that's correct. But Venus represents money traditionally. So wherever she is, what is she going to bring? So guess what? We get a double dose of the effect. We get the independent chart aspect of what's going on the technical component. But then we can tap into the universal aspect of Venus, because the moon ain't got nothing to do with money in the sense of the universal principle of what she means. She's just a description to help me tap into Venus. You see what I'm saying? So then you got to understand where she's at. And I'm talking about Venus, the universal goddess of wealth, Lakshmi Srinivasi. You have to understand where she is. That's my wife. Seriously, that's my wife. So you got to understand that. So you get a double component of what's going on here, because the planet is always going to bring the ray of light of the sign that it represents, point blank, period. Regardless if it's your chart ruler of that specific area in question, it doesn't matter. She is going to bring that ray of which it represents. So understanding the Venus position by itself also tells you the universal cosmic principle on how to tap into it. You see? Some people be like, well, no, you can't get money where your Venus is because it's not your second house chart ruler. That's not true. Because wherever she is, she's going to bring that energy. So how can I not get that? It's just my chart ruler, again, is showing me the finer details on how to tap into the universal principle on who really is the goddess of the wealth. All right? So I'll give you an example. I was born with Venus in Aries. She's out of pocket because she's supposed to be in Libra, right? She's in detriment. Luckily, I have she's part of my grand fire trine. I have a pyramid in my chart. I show my chart. If you go to my consultation tabs, I show you how my chart is really the cube of Metatron. We call Metatron's cube. Everybody know I'm master number 33. So I can channel the energy from the Most High. Yehe. I am that I am from Kether, Archangel Metatron. I can tap into that frequency very easy. Now, Venus, at the top of a pyramid, this picture a triangle, right? A right side, a left side, and at the very top, regular triangle. Venus is at the top. Now, I have a planet that supports this, the moon. I have the moon in Aquarius, right? Astrology, right? Now, Venus is the universal principle of money, relationships, right? And she's in the 10th house for me because she's at the top. 10th house is public. What you do in the public? Show you this. You got to live it out. What you do publicly, how you get your finances publicly. And she's in Aries, which means the leader first, right? And I'm already Aquarius, so I'm a rebel. I'm going to bring a different dynamic that the world hasn't seen to the game, right? The Aquarius to Venus is two signs away. That's 60 degrees. We call that a sextile in astrology. That means it is an opportunity. Because last I checked, that fire sign of Aries needs air from Aquarius to breathe. They share the same gender in astrology. These are considered masculine, fire and air. So since one is at 12 and another is at 10, they form a 58-degree angle, which is very close to an exact 60-degree angle, and this is called an opportunity. So the universal goddess of money, Venus, in the 10th public, which you should present what? Well, my second house financial ruler, who's in Aquarius, the sign of astrology, says if you go on the path of astrology, I support you, Venus. Venus says, I support you too, because I'm the universal goddess of the money anyway. So I need you to be in this position, because when you play this position, the opportunity comes into your life. Now, this is the thing, though. ladies and gentlemen, you can do anything in this reality you want to do. I can read your chart and Keisha can lay them cards. The prime minister can tell you you need to be a doctor. And you can turn around and say, I want to be a race car driver. You can do what you want to do. Because these areas of space are all embodied inside of you. You embody all of it. So therefore, whatever you choose to do, you can do it. But guess what? The chart simply tells us that, well, this path is going to be a little bit more challenging and you probably wouldn't be that good at it. But maybe with hard work and persistence, you can reverse that and you can be successful at doing that. So go for it. Some people may say, no, I feel more of the easy vibe. I should be a doctor. I always thought about doing that, and you confirmed that for me. Thank you. I'm going to go be a doctor. You can, because all of these energies are around your head right now. Right now, if we can remove the clouds and turn the lights of the sun down just a little bit and they start lighting up, some of these things that look like stars are actually planets that appear to be above your head. So this light is being refracted from the sun that is coming down into this atmosphere that you can feel. So thus, when the planet comes around and it forms a certain geometric angle to where the planet was at when you were born and you react a certain way, like we say, hey, look out, because that's going to blow up on you today, and that happens, what are you responding to? You are responding to spatial imprints in the sky because your body is star-like space material. All right? So therefore, since all of this is inside of you, when we deal with the diagram of the human body, Aries being the head, Taurus being the throat, Gemini being the lungs, Cancer being the stomach, Leo being the heart and spine, Virgo being your intestines, Libra being your kidneys, Scorpio being your sexual organs, Sagittarius being those thick thighs. I'm sorry, I got to say it every time I say Sagittarius. Shout out to Nicki Minaj. She got that. And then you get Capricorn. You know, Capricorn, your bones, skin, teeth, and hair, the structure of the body. Aquarius, the bony ankles that supports everything. And then Pisces, the feet. So truthfully, when you are at odds and when any dis-ease or unsettling event or things taking place in your body, you can actually reference the star constellation to show you the area of your life that you need to work on from a spiritual angle. Right? So I know why your stomach hurts all the time. Because it's something that relates to your mother and your father. I know why your lungs is always like that. Because you're not communicating your truth and it's something that's taking place with maybe one of your siblings, but most importantly, your truth is not coming out. See? So you can choose, just like I can choose today, I'm going to get my fat tail up and I'm going to work on my stomach. I'm going to add workouts. Tomorrow I'm doing legs. Tomorrow I'm doing, you know, I'm doing biceps. Tomorrow I'm going to do my chest. I'm going to do cardio to strengthen my heart. Right? I'm going to eat better and clean my intestines and boo-boo everything out for 10 days. Right? I can choose which body that I want to focus on and cleanse that particular area. I'm going to go soak my feet in the one thingy, right, to draw the toxins out. I can choose that. So just as I can choose to do anything with my physical body, any specific area, the same law is upheld when you can do whatever physical venue you want to go in life. The chart is just to show you which ones are more challenging and which ones are more accessible, a little bit more easy for you. And that don't mean you always take the easy path, because, in fact, the Creator says, no, you need what is called divine constriction. You need the restrictive aspect of no. Why? Because resistance makes you strong when you're working out. What happens when you work out? And you start to defy gravity and go against the gravitational pull, it makes you stronger. So there's something called physical working out, physical calisthenics, and spiritual calisthenics. All right? So what I want you to do, though, I'm going to give you a little jewel. Share something with you. I want you to get in tune with that planet that rules your second house. Okay? And once you identify that, then on that day that it governs, I want you just to become more conscientious of that day and what's taking place. Because now the Creator is saying that I'm going to rule you. This is where the Hebrew coming at. I'm going to rule your creation from the seven planets, the seven candlesticks before the, you know, all this stuff. I'm going to rule this creation in your world with the divine number seven. So if you Scorpio, pay attention to Mars. If you Pisces, pay attention to Jupiter. If you Aquarius, pay attention to Saturn. All right? I believe that sums them up. Because if you Aries, and let's walk through it because I want y'all to understand this, we got to get into a better position as a people. Like understanding, I know I'm on it because anytime I can just look and say, well, the United States government is the baddest, biggest thing that ever been smoking to the world so far, and I go start paying attention to their structures, and I look at the U.S. Capitol building, and they have a statue of Mars on the right-hand side that you can see, you know, don't make a mess, little girl. Please do not make a mess. You see Mars right there, and then you go over to the Thomas Jefferson Library of Congress, and you see King Neptune outside as a statue. Then you understand that the federal triangle is laid out based off three stars, where you deal with the United States Capitol building going up to the Washington Monument, going up to the White House, and then back again to the Capitol building. This forms what's called the Federal Triangle, right? And then you understand that these represents three stars: Regulus, Spica, and Arcturus. This is an astronomical phenomenon. You got a big old Tekken called an obelisk right there in Washington, D.C., that's 555 feet tall and made an ordinance that no other building in Washington, D.C. could ever be taller than that Tekken, which really represents the phallus. It represents you standing up in your resurrection of how you recreate yourself, and that's pointing at the stars in the sky. They got that science, obviously, from who you call the Egyptians, right? So when I see that, and that's the truth. These are facts. And then when I also do the research and say, oh, wait a minute, the United States Navy Observatory feeds their data to the Department of Defense, and they study the astronomical portion of the Earth's distance. So you got to understand this. We are actually in the darkness of space right now. But via where you at is sunlight, and you don't even see the darkness of space until what appears to be the sun sets, but really what's happening, your portion of the earth is turning away from the sun at that point, and then it's dark. You can see this darkness that you're floating in. Where are you floating? We know you're floating around the sun, but is the sun floating around something? And if that's floating around something, where is it floating to? And how long do it take to get there? And is it ever coming back? Is this because we know that the Earth has an orbit around the sun, right? Every year you celebrate your birthday. You're celebrating. It's not happy solar return. It's happy Earth return. The Earth is back at the same position of where it was in relation to the sun when you were born, right? So therefore, there's an orbit. Well, where are you going since we're floating in the darkness of space? You want to talk about the fallen. The fallen, in my opinion, is really the mere fact that the solar system is rotating. That's what the fallen is talking about. Hence, Transformers, the fallen. You're falling in the darkness of space right now. What you think the movement is? Sun up, sun down, yearly things and everything that's moving. You're falling in the vastness of space. The prime minister says, what if we are in a black hole? I said, nigga, you crazy. Now think about that. What if you are in a black hole being sucked somewhere, and the suction of the black hole is actually what's creating the movement of what you see? Whoa. That's a whole nother thing. What if you can get out the black hole? You see what I'm saying? or what if you're the driving force to the black hole? There's many ways we can go with this. So anyway, we have to become the best that we can be with this, right? So, Aries, on the we talking about the money. You Aries people, Aries and Scorpio, Tuesday is the day that you need to sit down and be a little bit more conscientious about your money, and you need to focus in on the creative and what you need to do. Now, there's a great deal of things that in which there's something that's created in which our lives become better that we have to obtain, and these are going to be that is more of a private conversation that I have to have when we set up the aspect of this curriculum, all right? But just so you can start seeing the rhythms now, right? Aries and Scorpio, pay attention on money. I mean, on Tuesday, about the money, and get in tune with yourself and get in tune with the Creator on that particular day. All right. If you are a Taurus and Libra, since y'all ruled by Venus, Friday is your day. That's the universal day right there. You good money for all you Taurus and you Libra. All right. So, Geminis and Virgo, since you rule by Mercury, then Wednesday is your day. All right. Cancer, since you rule by the moon, Monday is your day. Leo, Sunday is your day. Today is your day, Leo. If Leo is on your second house cusp, today is your day. All right. Now, if you are, we did Virgo, we did Libra, we did Scorpio. If you come over into Sagittarius, Jupiter, Thursday is your day. All right? Again, I'm not saying this is your sun sign. We're being specific now. Today we are dealing with the psychological profile, show me the money. We're talking about if these constellations are on your financial house. All right? Capricorn, Saturdays is your day. Aquarius, you can go on Saturdays as well. And you can almost play Wednesday with the Uranus effect as well, all right, because Uranus is a higher octave of Mercury. And then Pisces, you can go on a day of Thursday because traditionally you're ruled by Jupiter, all right? And also, for real, the double effect of you, the Neptunian frequency, they said the Neptune is another frequency of the moon. So Monday is a day that you can go as well. And we just want to, these seven days are what we call the seven double planets, these seven planets that rule creation, that govern creation. Every single day, tomorrow we're going to start a work day here on Monday. We're about to get ready to go back and engage in commerce and do things. We have to be conscientious of all of the areas of our life. So your finance day, I just gave it to you. That's the day, and the things that you have to do, again, it requires chart interpretation because, again, as I said, this could be here for now, but this is squaring that, and that's the opposite of that. You got progress charts that are here. You got a solar return when you was here, so now this for the year is pretty much telling you where you're going to be at because you was in this region on the earth when your birthday came, so this is a fourth. Like, there's some components to it. But there's also some very basic, obviously, some very basic foundations that you can grasp to start to see yourself in the cosmic wheel of creation. All right? Now, where are we at on time? Doing good, 12:32. Let's go over to the full moon. All right? The full moon. Today, congratulations, the full moon is today. At 25 degrees Taurus, and it came in at 10:16 this morning. Now, we got some work to do. We're going to have to play the other side of this because the full moon, for those of you in the United States, at 10:16 in the morning, you don't see the moon, right? You don't see the moon. The sun is out. You don't see it. The full moon is when the moon is on the complete opposite side, so you don't see the moon until the sun has set, right? So at 10:16 p.m., which is the science of the 12, you got to go on the other side, in opposition. You got to go on the other side, all right? Then you can go outside because now we're talking about the moon. The moon is exalted in the zodiac sign of Taurus. What are you talking about, Ample? Well, I'm just simply saying that what we know is when the moon is in Taurus, she likes to be here. This is her second home. When she leaves her home of Cancer and she likes to go settle in somewhere nice, she likes to go over to Taurus and live there because Taurus is all about the values and it's ruled by Venus, so it's a hint of, it's a taste of fine food and money. So she likes being over there. That's where she is, all right? So when she's in this region of space, then she feels great. She feels good. She's full. So she's already at her maximum potential in the sign she's exalted in. So this is the money sign right here. And she represents the money planet because she likes to be here. She's exalted here. It's one of the secrets of it, right? Now, but the unique thing is, too, is this. I know that 25 degrees, there at 26 degrees, there's something called algol. This is said to be the most malefic star in the solar system. This is where they call it the demon star. She's at 26, right? This is the eye of Medusa, in which Perseus in the mythology chops Medusa's head, and he's holding her head in his hand. Like, what was that dude name they did like that? Daniel Berg, I think that was his name, back a few years back in Saudi Arabia when they beheaded him in front of television. I watched that. Grossed me out completely. So we had a full moon at the demon star today. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's go on both sides of polarity because energy is about polarity. Polarity is extreme, the extremity of two poles. Let's go extreme what we perceive to be negative, what we perceive to be negative. This is a demon star and talks about people being beheaded. When you get up into this region of space, 26 degrees Taurus, 27, 28, 29 Taurus, even all the way up to 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 of Gemini. This is very malefic energy in space. The things that the priest recorded here were beings or personality traits of people who do some crazy psychotic things. They rape women. They maim women. They cut their heads off here. This has a lot to do with, for some reason, it's recorded with the murder of women, all right? Thus, when you get a little further up into Pallades, 28, 29 degrees Taurus, hell, the full moon is at, and it's the moon, it's the woman, she already at 25, right? So she right there by the Pallades. The Pallades is known as the seven weeping sisters who are running from Orion the Hunter. So these women are on the move, like, I got to get away from this madman. He's a barbarian. That's one aspect to look at it. Then you can flip it and say, no, how about this? Orion is really Asar, it's Osiris. And the seven stars, the seven weeping sisters, these stars are really talking about a group of pyramids that come from one of my sources on this is from Wayne Herschel called thehiddenrecords.com. Thehiddenrecords.com, that he says, wait a minute. Not only did Egypt build the three pyramids to Orion's belt, the whole everything up to now deals with star constellations. And the Pallades is the apex of this energy at the pyramids called Abusir, A-B-U, Abusir, S-I-R, the Abusir pyramids in Egypt, which are seven pyramids that appear to be incomplete. They weren't complete. So these correspond to the seven stars and the Pallades. It was beautiful. Now, you know, recently, and I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Because, again, you got to see yourself in the story. My 12th house starts at 26 degrees Taurus. So, therefore, Algol, the demon star, is the star that actually starts my final gateway in understanding what spirituality is all about. See, again, energy is twofold. One class of astrologers in a total different Chinese or total different cultural background can define energy as one way, and it literally means that based off your interpretation. Why? Because the prime minister and I were here on one of the shows, and we talk about the mere fact that you observe something actually gave it a definition. We know this in quantum physics. Your observation gives the particle its definition by staring at it. So you got to be conscious of what you're staring at, because that's what's actually creating it. What the hell are you thinking about? All right? So we can get into different phenomena here, but I had a dream a couple days ago that I was outside staring at the Pleiades. But I already know what it's saying, because in my conscious waking mind, we know that now when you see people, usually a lot of European people were, honestly, in this day and time, the first to get up on it, in the sense of saying they are ambassadors from the Pleiades, ambassadors, the great white brotherhood, that comes from, I'm from Aldebaran, and I'm from, you're receiving a transmission from Arcturus, right? They're in all this channeled information today, which is a lot of vast information that you got to learn how to, you got to learn how to use your intuition and your third eye, which is your first eye, when deciphering this information. But nevertheless, there is a culture of people already on the earth that talks about the Pleiades and the magnificence of this energy, and they Pleiadians, and how this energy is great. But then we have traditional astrologers that say, when you understand fixed stars, they say, yo, hey, the Pleiades is a monolithic energy. So now we look like we got a little conflict here. I don't care to say which one is what. All right? My point is just to give you the facts. And my real point is that since the moon is here tonight, today, and right now, and this is your last full moon in this region into a whole nother year, you won't see this again until next year when the moon is full. 6 months from now, you'll get a new moon, but on the new moon, you can't see it because of the brightness of the sun. So this is your last time of the year that you're going to see Mama, the moon, the divine feminine, herself at her height in the sign that she is exalted in, where you can possibly come to the full completeness of something to do with your finances because of the star constellations on the backdrop. Right? So I know what me and my team gonna do, and this is private. Sometimes you gotta do these things when I say private, 101 with you and the Creator. So we can do it all collectively. Like tonight, I say it tonight, since the full moon technically came in at 10:16, that was the portal. We played the opposite side of it, right? 10:16 at night, because we couldn't see the moon, right? And then we go outside, and we're going, if you look right above the moon, you're going to see what looks like a little panhandle, like a little dipper, right by the moon. That constellation is the Pleiades. I'm in agreement with Herschel Walker. I mean, not Herschel Walker, that's the football player, but Wayne Herschel, that these alignments, with my cat, I got to go feed Bosset. That these pyramids are in alignment with stars. That's a fact. We've been doing that. So tonight, really, we get in a grand inauguration. Some type of grand cosmic ritual is taking place. And on another side of the thing, it's saying it's the most monolithic energy ever that you want to get to. Right? So at 10:16 tonight, let's just go all outside and stare at the moon. And stare at the constellation of the Pleiades. And since these Pleiades represents the seven sisters, these seven rays of light, and Osiris, Osar, from our mythology, from our cosmic standpoint, our cosmogony, our own records, represents the resurrection, right? But he wasn't resurrected until the woman, Offset, his wife, came and resurrected him. Osiris, also known and depicted as what? The bull, huh? Now we're talking about, now we in the right constellation of space again. See, this is a cosmic thing that's taking place. So Ampul is Osiris. He's Osiris' son from the dark mother, Nephthys, with the 12th house rule from Algo, from the darkness, because we can get doubted if you want to get doubted. As long as the malefic beings, stay and don't do nothing stupid, we will stop lightning balls from striking the earth. And when you get out of hand, we've been tested and proven that once we start prophesying on you, God got our back. So that's the other aspect. That's the other component to this reality. Because when you understand the tree, God is, what, on the right side, on the masculine side, he's merciful. He's nice. He's understanding, very compassionate. But then when we move on the left side, the left-hand path, severity, deem, judgment starts to come. It's where the bad boys is at, on the feminine side. Meaning, all it takes is for the woman to give the word, and it's on and popping. And that's with anything in creation. You wait for her, she give you the go-ahead, yeah, you can come over tonight. Yeah, nigga, give me some love, nigga, I'm out, I'm about to go, my girl, how she said. You know, it's all that. And that's in every spectrum of creation. Once the feminine energy says, yes, I receive your light to influx me, you may now come into the company of me, and we can do what you request, or you can do what I request, or we can do what we request, all right? So the judgment comes from that side. The key to understanding the Creator, because he walks the middle path, is when to execute judgment and when to execute mercy. This is why in Arabic, the prayers always start off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Rahman, Rahim, masculine and feminine. All right? So don't let me scare you when I bring, because what you can perceive to be masculine energy of warrior really is coming from a feminine aspect of yourself. So you got to remember. See, I'm going to give y'all, we have conversation all the time, and it's called the Living Zohar. In the Living Zohar, Minister Ampu says to Minister June says to Ampu, what is the most powerful number in creation, 1 to 9? I say, the number 9. And he says, I say the number 8. And I say, that definitely would have been my second pick, because I understand that the number 8 is the 8 forms of Ptah. And I understand that when you get into the creation God, or whether you get from Atum Re, he creates these 4 sets of twins, you know, and then we get 8 gods, but these 8 gods come from the 1, and when the 8 have a knowledge of the 1, it becomes the 9, but the 9, as Minister Jew say, is nothing more than a replica of the 1. And then I say, well, where were you dealing with the 9? The 9 is universal in completeness, because the 9 will always allow, even though it's completeness, it will always allow the other person to reign. Meaning in numerology, if I'm a 9 and you are a 5, 9 plus 5 is 14, 1 plus 4 is 5, 9 always gives way to the other number. So if you are a 9, you always going to allow the other person has dominion over the relationship, because you understand the universal principle of completeness. You're here in their life to bring completeness to them when you are 9, right? So we had this conversation about God being an 8 and a 9, and I understand why the number 8, because in this reality you have 8 octaves of music. In this reality, everything becomes crisscross. The sun looks like it rises, but it doesn't. So when things start to filter down in this reality, it somehow switches itself, like the number 8 does. When you follow the circle, it zigzags itself to be an opposite, but yet in unison with each other. So what you think is masculine is actually feminine, and vice versa sometimes. Okay? What was my point saying that? Y'all got everything, the Pallades? So, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell y'all something why this is important. This is my last point. And where we at on time? Are we doing good? I got 10 minutes. I can take a few phone calls. I got to do my Sunday cleaning. Wash clothes and everything that's already done. I can fold them already. I'm about to put them up. I'm about to vacuum, like the incense. I'm about to cook dinner. I had somebody knocking on my door. I don't know who it is. I don't like unexpected company at the time. It's a Jehovah Witness right now. And, you know, see, that's God coming in, y'all. Hey, brother, I'm on a radio call right now, but can you tell the people where you're coming from? Let them know. Who y'all represent?
Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness. So I'm on the radio talking about God, but check me next week or something. All right? All right, brother. Take care. All right, so that's Jehovah, and there's two of y'all, right?
Yes.
So, see, Jehovah's sending his two witnesses to check on me. So, all right, that's what's happening. That's how God works. It's okay. I like having conversation with him. I haven't broke him down yet in this Hebrew, and I want, but I'm going to let them know where I'm at. They may stop coming along. I don't want them to do that. I just want to let them know that, you know, I'm cool. I'll never become a convert of it, but I respect it. All right? So I see you, Hashem. I see you, the divine name of God. I see you. So anyway, what I was going to tell y'all about is there's something that I want you to start putting on your being. I want you to start putting this on your person, in your car, when you're traveling. Do whatever you do that works for you. What works best for me is this Hebrew system. I love it. I'm from it. My hair, as you know, I got braids. My hair literally genetically starts to conform what you would call the Jews. When I wear it that way, it literally starts to come down that way and starts to conform, because it's when you understand the Hebrew, these are cosmic archetype principles that are, like I said, they're encoded inside of your body. So when we get into these Zohar studies, there's going to be passages that we can just stare at that help us negate certain things, get rid of negative energy, bring in, you know, certain things. But there's something called the Prayer of Travelers. And I had got me one, and I noticed something. It looks like what's called the Hamza. The Hamza is in Arabic, they got called, it's called the Eye of Fatima. And it's the hand that has the evil eye on it, the protection of the evil eye. When people stare at you, it puts the hand up and it does away with evil stares, okay? And on the Hamza, there's a prayer for travelers on it in English, and you can get one in Hebrew as well. And it's a keychain. This one I'm talking about is a keychain, but you can have one like a plaque that's in your window or whatever, right? But anyway, on it, on mine, I see three letters. Mim, Zayin, Lamed, Mazul, M-Z-L, Azul. Now, this is, on the back of it, I have the prayer for travelers, right? And I said, well, what is Mazul? What is this? Well, Mazul means good luck. It means greatness, you know, good luck. And I said, oh, okay, it makes sense. You know, this is a prayer, so good luck in my travels. But guess what else is Mazul? Mazul is the root, because to get to the Hebrew root words, if it's more than three letters, is three letters are going to be the root of the word, right? So what did we say zodiac was? Mazaluth. So Mazul, M-Z-L, is constellation. Destiny and fate. You understand? So you're telling me good luck in the prayer, but the priest knew that your luck and your destiny and your fate is in concordance with the constellation. All right? I got to give me, I'm going to work with me for a minute, y'all. I'm sorry about this, but I see my cat. And, you know, I got to feed my cat. Come here, socks. You know, I got to feed my cat, y'all. So give me a second. Because part of the, one of the things that we did, one of the activations that we did, I told myself I wanted cats to come around because I knew there were two litters around me. And a litter, you know, there's two litters around. So I had to feed the spirit of the cat, Bosset, who keeps the temple safe, you know. And that's just what I'm doing right now. Because when I see the cat run through the yard, I got to feed. Okay. All right. So, get ready to go to the take some calls. So, the state that the prayer of travelers, if you can't get that, always have on your being things that represent, like Minister Juice says, stay prayed up, man. Stay keyed up. Stay prayed up at all times. Always have something on your being that is a reflection of the Most High. All right, we got 6 minutes left. I am going to take some calls, but I'm going to get the final announcements out. That way, you want to call in. We have an extended version of the show, but I only set it for 2 hours. Call in 818-369-0368 as of right now. There will be no more people waiting in line and you couldn't get in because the show was full, all right? And thank you for that because y'all pushed us to a different plateau, all right, so to step it up. So 818-369-0368 is the number if you're on the Internet, and I'll take a few calls, so call in 818-369-0368, all right? Again, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. First thing up is on the 24th of this month. Next week, Minister Jew is dropping the Spirit of Film, which is respectfully called the Spiritual Psychology of Filmmaking. All right? I'm going to have to put him on a book or something. The Spiritual Psychology of Filmmaking is what this is all about. It's the last time it's going to show and this year, and he probably will not show it again in 2014 because that schedule looks busy. So you want to catch that if you did not catch it the first go-around. Phenomenal information. That's first. Second thing is me and Keisha is up next Friday at 12 noon East Coast time. If you want a free reading, I suggest that you call in at 11:45 a.m., 15 minutes prior. So a quarter to 12, call in because the minds are jam-packed, all right, for free consultations. Speaking of consultations, I'm back doing consultations again. I do them much differently. And I share everything I know with you in those consultations. The way I do them differently now is because it's time for me to start revealing this stuff for you so I can go. I need to go through another, whatever Hashem has for me, I need to get there. I got to get y'all into this particular part. You submit your questions to me, and I'm going to answer those questions, and I want you to pay attention to the timeline that's going to take place. The energy is there. What you do with it is your business, all right? So you can ask me a list of questions. I think I got it capped off at 10 at the most. It's another one in there. Get the other one that's already open. 10 max. And, you know, I'm going to answer that if it's from prayer to the divinity of the gods and the Malachim, which is the angels that are present. And because guess what? See, some of these forces, you got angels and forces that's in these areas of life too. But just because you know the day to pray or you know what, now you got to start dealing with other energies. And then I keep telling you, there's actually angels are only on post because there's really something called dark energies. We call them cathartic forces, demonic energies that is here to throw you off your path, which are aspects of yourself. All right? Shadow aspect of yourself. It's the set energy that's on you. So when you try to come to New Orleans and you come into New Orleans, a spiritual vortex, you won't be able to make it because they about to start testing you because you think you're going. So that's what I'm telling you. Don't wait till the last minute to sign up for that, all right? And speaking of that, you know, we're in New Orleans for the spring equinox, all right? We're in New Orleans for the spring equinox. So definitely be there. And we're talking about March of 2014, all right? So me and Keisha, we up. Like I said, I'm doing a consultation and whatnot, so check on the consultation tab and give you everything I know, from writing Hebrew scripts, sending it to you if that need be and whatnot. And I show actual pictures of the work. That's the thing. I'm showing you pictures of my own work, meaning on one of those pictures, when my son took a picture, you see orange light all at the bottom half of me. My daughter had came back. Because it was that birthday weekend, my daughter came back and visited the house for a few days. And I had that type of energy in some other pictures, all right, birthday pictures that happened. Showing you how a script was in the background for a brother who was doing some activation work. And in the flame of the candle, it was two flames, and one was higher and wasn't even connected to the base of the flame anymore. But show you how elementals will start to show up once you put the fire language Hebrew in your work. All right, that's the divine world. The prime minister has a saying and says, if you ain't working with fire in this reality, you're not doing anything. You have to have fire. I agree with him because when you understand, look at man. Man is known as ish, all right? Ish is man. Isha is woman. The word for fire is esh. So the root for man and woman is fire, all right? And I show how fire, the fire class of the angelic order are the angelic order that have dominion over the earth plane. What you think volcanoes is for? What you think the heat is winning the championship for? What do you think Phoenix, Arizona and this hotness on these centers is for? What do you think the lava, the hotness of the core at the middle of the earth is there for? You know, why you think you're taught about a devil in a fiery pit? The fire angels rule this dominion. You got to understand, if you're an airbender, firebender, earthbender, or a waterbender, which one are you? You see what I'm saying? And your zodiac sign by itself don't denote that. So it's these little intricate details that comes back from the old. The old, what I'm saying now, at this particular point, some of the most beautiful experiences that we had was in Moorish Spain, where we allowed different cultures to have a universal appeal and work together simultaneously. So it's this information that I'm now presenting to you in your consultations, all right? And like I said, the best thing, the one thing you can do, too, is if you miss me and Keisha on a free reading and you really read it, we have that set at a value that's have that at a place where it's one person for you buy one, get one free, basically. All right? So you get the second reader for free. All right, and we have options there for you. And of course the prime minister is doing something. If man, I'm gonna tell y'all something. And y'all be, I'm gonna tell you, he be quiet, but I'm telling you, the dude is a genius. He's a genius. If you want to know something about your children, your own child chart, and I don't see a lot of people getting into that. Like, the psychological profile of your children, man, get a child reading done. Get it as a gift for your own psychology and inner work and knowing your babies. Get a children's reading done from the prime minister so he can let you know what they're working with. All right? He's phenomenal at that, man. So I got everything out the way, man. We got that, man. We you know, like I said, self-activation workbook if you ain't got one. Of course, visit the website. Click on the storefront. Knock yourself out. DVDs on this information, and it's just time for us to really kick it in gear. I got a treat for y'all. I'm telling you, I got a treat for y'all, and I'm waiting for the date. But to give you a little bit of insight, I'm going to be on the radio on Wednesdays, and it's called Soul Food Wednesdays, Spiritual Food for the Soul. And I'm going to have a co-host that is the coldest in what we call Imana, which is faith, which is the spiritual light that this person emit. I got pictures of it. Is I ain't never seen nothing like it. And we're gonna come from two different perspectives, and we're gonna talk about the higher aspect of soul and certain subject matters. What is peace? What is the word marriage? What do that represent? All right. So I'm waiting to get the dates locked in, but we're gonna be back on Wednesdays, only for an hour, and once a month. And we're going to get into the metaphysics, the metaphysical aspect of some things, all right? So just be on the lookout for that. I have to make an update to the website because of the new site that's just now up. We didn't put the mailing list on there. So if you didn't join the mailing list, just periodically check back. I'm going to try to get it done tomorrow, but definitely at the end of the week, check with us. And on the main page, myastrologycoach.com, you should be able to sign up on the mailing list if you're not on our mailing list. Not worry, it'll be there. Last but not least, visit the website, hiphopastrology.com. And like I said, when Minister Jude do his cognitive mapping event that's coming up in May, you'll get an email blast about that. All right, but if you're a hip hopper, visit hiphopastrology.com, where we're talking a lot about certain things. And I did a piece about TLC. They just released a little movie thing on VH1, and Chili and Pebbles was beefing, and Pebbles went over to Wendy Williams' show, and one's a Virgo and one's a Pisces. Classic opposition. One born on the 27th, one born on the 29th. Opposition is good if you understand what it is. However, opposition is bad because it represents two people fighting. See what I'm saying? So in this particular case, you said you got cheated out of millions of dollars, then now millions of now lawsuits coming. And now Tion had to file bankruptcy because she's just regrouping and doing the right thing, you know. Like she said, you know, other people do it all the time, you know what I mean? I ain't broke, I'm just regrouping, you know what I mean? All that stuff is unnecessary when you understand that the person you're working with is in opposition to you from the gate. You didn't know that. You just thought it was all love. If you're going to be in opposition to me, I need to know the nature of the opposition. And I want you to be aware that you're in opposition to me, too. I want you to know that me and you are in opposition to each other. So this means one of two things, and how are we going to choose the journey? I was blessed in this lifetime to meet someone who is exactly opposite me, and I talked about that in one of these shows. That is very important for you to understand the angle of space by the sun alone or how far away a person is from you. I'm telling you, it's important. I'll give you a classic example, real life story. Minister Jew, to myself, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we are, what is it, man? I forget the degree right now, but whatever that degree number is away from each other, Aquarius to Gemini, that we away from each other, the numerical value for that number is the word that actually equals a planet, and the planet is Mars, which obviously would be Madame, right? Now, here it is, unbeknownst in a degree, consciously to us, that we say that, hey, we're going to create a medallion, and we're going to, it's going to be called the Galactic Activation Medallion to get people to activate this energy, because that DVD is the coldest DVD that ever hit consciousness. I stand on that. Nothing's more phenomenal to you, to your psychology, than that DVD right there. Nothing in consciousness. That, man, I'm telling you, people in my ear begging me to take that to professors and from NASA type of stuff to study this particular phenomenon, and I won't do it. Like, it's that serious. So if you ain't got galactic activation, you slip and get it, all right? But anyway, we come up with a medallion, and you know, those of you who had a medallion, I tell you, you wear the side that has the sigil of Mars and the archangel's name on them. You wear it against your body. So how is it that the very first thing we decided to venture on medallion-wise, we decided to bring in the energy Mars? Now, Mars is known as a malefic. They say Saturn is the great malefic, but the priesthood has deemed that, and Minister Jews just swore on it, like, no, that's the greater malefic. I agree to it. That's what it is in our reality. It moves much faster. He's a fire starter. Mars is the great malefic of the solar system. But why is it that we chose to work with this? Because the hot side of Mars really represents dynamic action and how you procreate and how you heal, how you get up and how you get off your butt and get things done. If anybody get in your way, you can kick they behind because they got in your way. It's the conquest. It's getting up and let's go. That's what Mars is really all about. That's why he's at the Capitol building at the United States Capitol building. That's why he's there. So, but when we understand the distance of space that exists between what the sun was at, because we're solar people, when I was born and you were born, years later, the distance of space is a numerical value that actually equates to the planetary force that you and I will consciously, in this case, in a sense, unconsciously, bring about. Why? Because there's already an energetic imprint that represents that. So we're guided by beings already that says you're going to bring this forth. That's why I tell you, no matter what you do, you own your path. You just need to be conscious of your path. And, of course, that don't mean you have to do dumb, crazy things. Oh, I'm on my path. Yeah, that is your path. But now there's also something, too, that's called karma, and that stuff is real. You're going to have to replay it. You're going to have to replay it. I can show you. I know why I meet people. I know why. I know what to be representing. I'm good at it. So I'm going to take a few calls. Hush my mouth, take a few calls, and I'll rock with you for a minute. All right? Caller from the 848-628. What's happening?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Man, I'm good, brother.
Cool. I did a pretty great show today, and I was going to focus on asking something about money, but you said about relationships. Right now, I've been in a relationship with someone that seemed to be in direct opposition to everything I was talking about as far as creating together. Mm-hmm. And not wanting to create sexually, you know, because women birth.
Right.
So I'm trying to
right.
form her own power she has within herself. And I was just listening to Nityama recently, and it's like I felt like maybe I'm trying to tell her to do something and control, and because I'm like a Virgo and stuff. But I'm actually the information I'm telling her, if she listens, it empowers her. But I remember you told me girls need to have, like, faith and trust in you and stuff.
That's right.
Before they
I remember
to listen.
Your voice. Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you're actually not doing these things and you're trying to help somebody, like, do you think that maybe that person is just, like against you spiritually? And
okay. All right. Okay, I got you. Well, that could be, but I'm going to take, and y'all better get ready for this one. And don't, callers, 52 of y'all right now here, stay right here. Don't y'all go nowhere because I have developed, I'm developing a new concept of something that needs to be tested, and it's already been tested by others, and it's true. I remember your voice, brother, and I mentioned the patient aspect, right? And the thing is this. I'm going to make the argument that says what is really taking place is you have to have faith in the Creator and improve your own what's called character traits. And once she sees that you are improving as a person, then she will come along, which means from this point forward, do not wrestle with her, suggest, say, most importantly, never, as men, never criticize a woman, especially for what we appear to be a lack of faith in God. Never do that because a woman's not built for that. I destroyed a certain aspect of my own marriage. I'm telling you from firsthand experience, from my own marriage of being impatient, irrational, and wanting things done my way in the service of bringing in what I perceive to be the kingdom, knowing I'm right and exact, knowing that I have all the signs from heaven. But the truth of the matter is if you believe in God, then you have to truly know that, A, God is working through your woman, and it's God that is speaking, that is testing your own faith. See, he says that you wasn't always on the path, and I'm speaking to myself and you, right? And Pooh, you wasn't always on the path. Nigga, you know you was selling XYZ and doing XYZ. You know you did a robbery before. You know you done those things. You've been robbed, too, as a form of payback, right, at gunpoint. Ran for my life. I ran so hard, I fell down and skid across the street I was out of. You ain't about to do me. You gonna have to do me running, you know? So saying that to say I wasn't always the person that I'm striving to become, and that's current because this is work. This work is a lifetime work. So what we have to do is have severe patience because the Creator was patient. Yo, you want to wait till you're 28 years old until we can talk to you now. You want to wait till you're 30 and have your Saturn return before you start getting into the knowledge of self. You see what I'm saying? What's wrong? God had patience with you, right? So there's a question by one of the rabbis. He says, does a spark of inspiration justify a husband's animosity towards his wife? I said, damn, I had to get up like I'm doing now and scratch my head and pace back and forth. And that's a real question. Does your spark of inspiration justify your animosity towards the wife? Right? And then he also says, because there's a story, which I'll share later. But long story short, a guy wanted to get out of his marriage, end up divorcing because his woman wasn't on the path. She wasn't going to live a righteous lifestyle and study Torah. So he about blessed me for a divorce, and Rabbi prayed, no, don't do it. Got kids, don't do it. It's part of your career, don't do it. She let you study Torah in peace. She let you be who you are and who you're becoming. Why are you going to divorce this woman who you say you love? And she's letting you study the things you want to study, and she's not stopping you right now. She's loving you for who you are, but yet you say you want another woman. So he goes off and he gets another woman. Then another woman was more advanced than him, and she looked at him as being lazy because she already had things. She was already feeding the homeless. She already had shelters and all these other things going. And he was lazy compared to her, and he couldn't even compete with her, so she divorced him, right? So the rabbi says, when he looks at it, talking about the first wife, it wasn't her fault that she wasn't inspired by him. So now the woman is saying, he's saying that the woman is not participating yet because she sees the character defects in yourself still. You haven't reached that plateau where it has changed you drastically enough to inspire her. So the way that you inspire her in this particular method is you don't mention anything to her about this particular path. In fact, you continue the hard work that you're doing on yourself, and you praise her and you thank her, and you put her as the prime thing in your life. She's number one. There's no criticizing, you don't do this, I need you to do this so we can do this. It's none of that. You work on yourself, and you thank her for being who she is, because the truth of the matter is she's allowing you to grow. See, she's waiting for that divine spark, which is really the what we call the tikkun, the correction of your own development, to kick in when she says this is making him a better man. And he's and see, most importantly, see, when we do this and we say, I need you on this, and you got to be on this, you make the woman feel like she has to compete with God now. And a woman shouldn't be made to feel like she has to compete with anyone. She has to have the feeling that she is number one in your eye. And once she has that feeling, that she's not secondary to your study of God. You see what I'm saying? Then she see you better in yourself, then she submits. So the sages teach us, pray for at least 10 minutes a day, every day. Pray to Hashem. Hashem means the name. And we say the name because you don't never want to use the word, you know, the Lord's name in vain. They say, pray to Hashem every day. Every day you pray to Hashem, and you ask Hashem to open your significant other, let's call your wife, open your wife's heart and her eyes that she may see the way with you. And you pray to Hashem that you have patience, and you pray to Hashem that you can correct your own character traits so you can become an inspiration to her. And only thing you do, you never mention it again, and you praise her and start to identify the things that you are thankful for about her. So the sages also teach, get out a notebook, and you write down a list of things of why you are thankful for her. And you praise her about these things. And this don't mean you go in front of her and you read your workbook and you say it. You think about these things that you're truly thankful for. You're truly thankful for, and you know, and you thank her periodically throughout that. Not, you know, I'm not saying, you know how to flow with it. You thank her for being who she is. She needs to see us. Women need to see us become better men. You see what I'm saying? And never putting them in a position where you either go this way or it's going to be that. Not over God. Not over God. That's not. I'm going to tell you something. This is the secret to this creation, brother. And a lot of people, they ain't going to dig it. But I know they're going to have to outprove me in the zodiac, and I ain't met one that can do that. I'm just going to say it. You ain't going to get me on the zodiac. Now, check this out. The whole purpose of creation, brother, is the woman is here to oppose us. She's opposite. That's what the opposite is. It's opposition to give you the friction. That was earlier when I talked about the divine constriction. That comes from her. That's be not on the tree of life. That's that. That's no. No. Right? So she's here to oppose us, but that opposition is how God says, I'm going to show you who you are and what you need to become. So this opposition that seems so hard is really talking about the hard work you need to put in. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm saying that to say that it's easy for us to run away, just like the story I gave, for us to run away and try to be with people who are on the same level. I noticed this phenomenon for years. When Uranus got up in Aries that says, man, relationships are in trouble, buddy, and they need something drastically has to change. See, we are the falling sparks of light that come down here, and we have to help redeem other people if you're on a spiritual path. You're on a spiritual path, especially if you're a teacher of it, then your responsibility is doubled and tripled, right? If you're on a spiritual path in your awakening process, I think it is a major growth violation to say, you're not on my level no more. You got to go. And let me be clear. There is something called there's things where you can't reconcile things. Irreconcilable, right? You have these differences where you cannot, you know, it's divorce is evident. It's called a get. in Hebrew. You have to release her. I've done that too. You know what I mean? Release the tension, right? But,
yeah.
But sometimes you have to do that. I understand that. But then this is the question, and I always judge myself with my own testimony of being in a relationship for 11. Next month technically makes the marriage at 8. So we got two cycles running, the 11-year relationship and then the 8-year marriage, right? So
yeah.
What I test myself on is this. Can you honestly say that you have gave it 100% and exhausted all of your efforts in wisdom? And can you honestly say you ain't do some things in the backdrop that she does not know or did not know at the time that is creating a battle of souls for my nefesh, my soul, and her soul, because the soul sees it and the soul is fighting, but since she can't physically see it and she equates it to intuition, she ain't going down my path because psychically she knows that you are FOS. You full of it. I can't prove it, but I know you full of it. And since me being honest, say I cannot say I honestly gave it 100%. I cannot say that I submit in God. I submit in Hashem that I want you to make this work, and whatever it takes to establish that peace, I'm willing to do that. If I never done that, I do not feel justified in walking away from the situation. So my advice to you would be, again, the patient, don't mention it. Again, what you need to do, improve yourself and start with prayer at least. Sometimes you told one dude, pray an hour a day. I said, geez, an hour a day, right? But start off with 10 minutes a day sincere prayer and really look at your own character to become a better person. And start to praise her for the things that, you know, she's praiseworthy of. Because the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to prove this with my own chart. I'm going to prove it with my chart and the day that I got married. That a lot of us, we get married, man, to correct our past life situations. And it is said that sages I study would say, God does not dwell in a house where there is, A, no relationship between man and woman, meaning you single, God don't dwell there. God does not dwell in a house where it's a man and a woman and there's no peace between them. See, how can you say, and I'm going to speak for self, Ampu, you're going to go out and broadcast to the world and say you write this and you're trying to do this thing, and you really are. You really are trying to do those things. But there's no peace or was no peace between you in your wife? No. This is serving your ego. That ain't serving you, because peace starts at home, brother. That's what they always say. Start at home. And that doesn't mean that even the sages don't, because I read up on these sages, and these sages have nagging wives. But they understand that it's part of their correction, and they still, too. We all going to have these type of issues. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We can't necessarily be so quick to bail out if we haven't gave it 100%, is my point. You know what I'm saying? And shoot me an email. Shoot me an email, because I'd love to give you some information that I'm studying up on this, you know what I mean, to take this particular path. My email is Noble, N-O-B-L-E, Ampu, A-M-P-U, Noble Ampu at Gmail. You know what I'm saying? But it's like I'm looking and I'm saying, yo, wait a minute. I've been going at this all wrong. Even from a perspective of a man ain't even supposed to try to seek honor from his woman. You want your woman, it'd be nice, but you're not supposed to demand or want your woman to honor you as a requirement, and you making it an issue because now you wanting to receive something. And the minute that you put yourself in, as the recipient, you have just immediately changed the polarity of the poles. You just became a woman.
Right,
and that's a
right,
no-no.
Right.
That's a no-no. And it's funny, man, because inside of the Talmud, which is the recordings of the oral tradition, they say, man, I pray to Hashem that I have a male son. Huh? A male son? Yeah, because you can have a son that's girly. That's why they pray for a male son. You see? So So when you look at this, it's about really thinking about responsibility for self. But there's no way, in my opinion, man, there's no way that we can be God fearing, God loving, and on this path, and we are breaking up with people because we perceive them to be not on the path of God. I think that once you try the principles of peace and putting her first and not making that a requirement and change the character traits inside of yourself and you changing how you behave towards her and you praising her for what she is, just accepting her for who she is because she's allowing you to be who you are, she is no way in hell she can be like, where you going tonight? You going to learn that M&F of Torah tonight? You studying that weird stuff again? Like, how can, that's when they say love prevails over all. And when you have, and only you can make the decision, and I'll wrap it with this, when you can say, I honestly, sincerely, in my heart, gave it my all, I even prayed for this woman for a whole year straight, 10 minutes a day, even an hour a day, and I done everything in my power, not even to pressure her and just to thank her and become a better person, and she just gives me hell about it, you know, then I can see it. So work on that. Work on that. Let's just say let's work on it for how long it takes. But let's for starters, because we understand the square aspect. Work on it for 90 days, and like I said, email me and I'll email you some more information about it as well.
Definitely. Real quick, I hear with everything you said. I kind of broke everything off with her because I was just mad because she wasn't, I guess, doing what I thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that wasn't good. But, you know, I probably can just start hitting her up and talk to her and, you know, keep texting her and call her up. But, you know, I was just really perturbed because I feel like when we get together, I'm creating and then she's birthing it. And then not allowing me to be part of what she birthed when I'm explaining to her, this is what we're doing. Like, this is what I'm doing when I'm focusing and concentrating. I wish you would too. And then I'm getting manifestations, and like in my head they're for us. You know, they're not just for me. You know,
mm-hmm.
So
the real manifestation that you get is from the Creator that says you're on to something. But you can't get it as fast as you want to get it. You see what I'm saying? It's three points in this that they're talking about. One is that God is in control, right? The second thing is God knows what's right for you. See, that's the difference between knowing that your woman, when she's speaking to you, that's God that's working. That's two totally different things. You know what I'm saying? So then if God is speaking through her, then God is in control of the situation. You know what I'm saying? And then it goes into you asking the real question. The real question or the third level is called, what does God want from you in this experience, right? So everything comes from the Creator is one. Knowing that He is doing everything for the best of you is two. And then three, the final one is, what does God want from you to in this experience of what you feel to be rejection and not manifesting, but yet you're seeing signs? What is it in that? So that's the question I ask you now. I see you made the move, and you can manifest, you see signs, but why do you think God will allow the situation? What do you think the message is inside of that for you?
That I have to make sure that my intentions are good and that I'm giving and take. Like, as much as I'm taking, I'm also giving. I don't feel like she does uplift me. It's like, but you did say that women are there to for your position.
No, when you do that, listen clearly. Now the argument becomes you acting like a woman. In the streets, man, my woman ain't uplifting me, man. Brother, I've been through this. Like, man, I feel like she ain't there. You acting like, yeah, in the ghetto terms, but no, now we becoming feminine. You need a woman to uplift you. We don't need no women to uplift us. God uplifts me.
True.
That's who uplifts us. My woman don't have to uplift me. Now, I understand yes, it would be nice to have support. I don't want to be spooky about it. In harmony, in peace, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Absolutely. But the mere fact that we, and what did you say? You said, well, I think the lesson would be, and for me to be, you know, you what you're giving out and what you're receiving. See, that receiving component, again, goes back to being feminine. Because men don't receive, men give.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, I see that point. What was your email again at Gmail?
Noble, N-O-B-L-E, Ampu, A-N as in Nancy, P as in Paul, U as in umbrella. So Noble, Ampu at Gmail.
Cool, got it. But yeah, man, that definitely was just a quick aha moment. I didn't even, and I think that one slipped, like, hardcore.
Okay.
But thank you.
I mean, you know, you're very welcome. See it in your heart, but apologize to her. I'm not telling you to get back with her. Y'all not married. So y'all, if y'all not married, you don't have that obligation because you're not married. And that's the key. You right now, you are free to roam about the country because if y'all not married, right? So now you can say, you know what, I'd rather work on attracting someone else that's on my level so the path can be a little easier for me. But I tell you, too, Hashem sits back and say, ha, that's good. But I got something for him if he afraid of this test. But the real test comes when you get married. That's why you say the Holy Shekinah, the divine presence of God, cannot exist between man and until he has got a woman. You see what I'm saying? So surely you can take the path of finding you a woman. You are in that state right now, so watch that. But I'm saying apologize to the sister, the woman, because you alienated her and cast her out of your world because she didn't have faith in the Creator the way you see fit, and you wasn't always on that level. And that's not fair. That's not fair to God and how the beings were patient with you. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not telling you to fix it. I'm just saying just let her know you recognize that within yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right?
Thanks. Yeah.
You got it, man. So, yeah, hit me up, man.
I'm talking about to email you. Have a blessed day, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, man. You too, man. Peace. Hey, caller from the 910-375.
Peace to the God. Peace, peace, peace.
Man, who is, man? I know this ain't the Taurus himself.
There's no way you could have broadcast this from your cell phone in the backyard up under a tent and tried to hide this one, buddy. And
what up, man?
Man, I'm in Philadelphia right now. That's how I feel like I'm in Philadelphia. I'm here to come over and help feed the cats, talk to the plants. And then, yo, you dropping it like crazy. But before I get to you, I got to go to the brother who just got off the phone because when he said Din Yama, a lot of the family wanting to study Tantra is
right.
Like misunderstanding just a little bit. But I'm very impressed of your present studies. I'm going to tell them like, I'm going to say like Dr. Gibson said, I see you've been doing your homework. I see you've been doing your homework. And to the brother, if you're still listening, everything Ann Pooh said is right and exact, and I'm in 1,000% agreement. I just want to add just a little more champagne to what he said quickly is you have to understand, and all the brothers, not just you, but you have to understand what is the dynamics of managing feminine energy. How do you manage darkness? How do you manage feminine energy? And what she's doing, and like everyone, anybody that you've ever got a problem with is showing you that you don't know how to manage energy and that you got to learn another technique. What do you think that you are drawn to Nick Yama for? Why do you think Ampu had a failed marriage and now he want to study, he want to talk to me, Juju Mama, he want to hear what's up with that tantra, he want to know what's up with the sex? Because you had somebody who was a karmic activator in your life. So this is what I want to tell you, because my mama is a runner, my sister is a runner, and I used to be a runner. If you run from a situation and don't fix what's in you that attracted it, the very next piece of you know what that you run into is going to bring you the same lesson. So hit AMPU up, and if you want to hit the coach up, I got something for you called the 8 Gender Harmonics. But I don't even got no free. I mean, I give it to people if they send me an email. But you have to understand what are your roles. AMPU put you on point when he was like, "Yo, you can't act like a girl talking about I need her to do this for me." No, you need God to do everything for you, and that's why you get a headache. And this is for all you brothers out there, including myself. When a female's giving me a headache, it's because I ain't got God first. I understand to operate in my kingly, masculine, Taurus self at that too. Then all the women start to uplift me to the point where I can be sitting by myself and start to cry because these women is giving me so much love that I ain't even asking for. But like AMPU said, when you sit there demanding it, I mean, you don't forget about your own creative force. Get your relationship together with the creator. That thing. Now, Nityama is a tough topic because he ain't taking on no students. So if some of you brothers is interested in Tantra, I suggest you get Jewel in the Lotus by Sunyata Saraswati. Get Tame Your Woman by my man Rakim Sekou or Carl Stevens. And get... No, I ain't going to do that last one. Not in public. Because that one goes too crazy. But those two will get you started. But AMPU, though, the other one I'm talking about got the red cover. That's all I'm saying. Like, you got to email me so I know who got that book. I ain't going to tell you. But it's got a red cover. That's all I'm saying. If you got a book with a red cover, then you know what I'm talking about. But otherwise, I ain't letting that out. Now, thank you for that, brother, coming on. AMPU, you stunning on that joint. And this show has been amazing. And I don't appreciate you reading me on the air like that without my permission. He just read me, y'all. He just put my name in it, so I appreciate it, AMPU. But that Al Paul, what's that star? AL?
Al Paul, yeah.
Son, that's the May 17th. That's why.
I know.
But that's also, you know, the New York Stock Exchange was founded on May 17th, 1796. So I can understand why it's so vicious. And at times when I get, you know, bent out of shape with a female, I can be like the executioner and be like, psh, you cut off something serious. So I understand. I have to also, now since I've transformed, though, moving toward enlightenment, that malefic energy can be you also used as a protector. Because I'm not one to say, well, because she a female, she don't need her head cut off. If you're evil, you need your head cut off, whether you're a male or a female. And women understand that protective energy, and it also motivates them to do what they're supposed to do. So listen, ladies, if a brother cut your head off, ask yourself, was you in the, you know what I'm saying, were you in your proper position? Don't just come and say, oh, I'm a female, he shouldn't do this to me. That's like them L.A. preachers. I've been watching the preachers of L.A., and the one thing that you really was going in on that show because every preacher on there that is successful has a powerful woman that has magnetized, and like you said, he entered into her. She said, yeah, you come over tonight and get some. Yeah. And then the magic started popping off. Then the magic. So if y'all go back and watch the first 3 episodes of Preachers of L.A., you'll see, because I had to correct one of my apprentices this morning. He was like, oh, man, why you all into that right there? Because I don't like how they spending that Jesus. I said, you looking at the wrong dynamics. I said, every one of them cats got 2 things that you don't have and that you need. One, they committed to their cause, and they committed to the creator by whatever name they call it. And 2, their woman is 1,000% with them. Then he was like, well, Hitler had his woman 1,000% with him too, and he did blah, blah, blah. I said, that same creative force energy is at your touch if you want to. You ain't Hitler and you ain't no preacher. But as soon as you get your woman online with you and you get fully committed, that woman will make sure whatever that you need is going to be magnified and put there. That's why I was like, yo, that was just powerful, which how you just... You read that whole show. You read that entire show. And that's why I love Prosperity Gospel. I love T.D. Jakes. I ain't too much on Eddie Long because, you know, he slipped. His wife, something's going on over there. But when you watching them type of dynamics, if you want to be a power couple, ladies, you're going to have to learn to submit. And you Negroes or whoever's listening, you males, if you want to be a power couple and have the Bentleys and the Ferraris, because women don't care nothing about the Bentleys and the Ferraris. They want to know that you's a real G. Are you a real G? That's a real God, a real gangster, real whatever they thought was a G. Are you real good? But the whining and complaining, like Ample said, you sound like, you know, you'll never do it. They don't want, they can get another woman. They don't want another woman in no man. So that piece right there is, you know, you smashed today, son. You smashed, And then you kept reading me with the number 8. Shoo, boy. This is a recordable. I missed the first hour, so I'm, hey, just over here. And I'm glad to see you back doing readings. How do people get in contact? Can I go to myastrologycode.com and get an appointment with Ample? Is that what I need to do?
Man, that's where I'm at. You know, you know how to make it happen, man. You got the direct number. You know what I mean. And let the people know. Let the people know your info, man. Your email address, because you said something. Your email address and your radio show and websites.
Bet. Well, I got money for y'all. I got money for y'all today. Coach come through giving out money. If you think I'm joking, you can just ask Ample. And don't get mad at me. That's because Ample the one brought this out. He said Coach Pose will be about his money. Ample, you don't want me to slow down, do you?
And why? It's retarded. You defeat your contract here. It would make absolutely no sense. The full moon is on your son, exactly. It's all about you. You know what I mean? Like,
Exactly. This morning it was at 25, now it's at 26, and I'm looking at my, whatever this program is, I'm going to take a screenshot and post this joint for you to show you that I'm all on top of this joint. But anyway, I got money for y'all. Everybody, if you need to change your mind, brothers, full moon Taurus, you want to know what's a good thing to read? Dollars Want Me. How do you get it for free? Go to HustleUniversityBooks.com and put your email address in, and I give you a free 57-page book. And you can ask Ample, you want to read them books that was written before 1940. Get them. This book was written in 1913. This new stuff is cool, but all they did was read something before 1940 and put a twist on it. So I got something that's like 1913. Dollars Want Me. Only 57 pages. You can read it in like an hour or less. And then you can have that done before 10:26 tonight. You have the right programming out there with that full moon tonight. When you out there playing that full moon, talking about dollars want me, and you need to be in solarpower111.com and whatever your mantra is. I know we're hitting it on the sun, but a full moon is what? A direct reflection of solar light. See, I'm going to be out there cheating for sure. I'm going to be out there with my 111, my dollars want me. my goddess for children is going to be out there. The Lakshmi is going to be out there. My pie writing. Oh, man. So that's where you can get that free book for everybody. Two, if you send me an email, CoachKhayr@gmail, K-H-A-Y-R, and say, just put gender harmonics in there. Just put gender roles or gender harmonics. I'll send you that. It's about 9 pages. Listen, but what Ample said, I got to stress this. Brothers and sisters, don't run up on your partner trying to say, this it right here. Why ain't you reading this? Read this right here. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth and be the living example. Just do it on every person. This is the problem. You ain't doing it to every woman, so your woman won't respond to you because she see it's fake. She see how you acting around your mama, your sister, your daughter, your other places. Ain't no woman respecting you.
That's right.
Your woman want to see you hold the door for her and the 3 women that came behind her at the store. When your woman sees you hold the door for her and then let it shut in the woman's face behind them, she know that you just fronting. And she know you just a pussy hound. And women don't like pussy hounds. They like men who like to stand up in it. But they don't like old fake, you know what I'm saying? You know, don't be like that, yo. Treat every woman. Treat the stranger. Treat the big woman. The big woman who about 240 and she just not attracted to you. You got to treat her like a lover, like a nurturer, like a visionary, and like a follower. And you have to be the monk, the leader, the soldier, and the negotiator. Those are the 8 roles I just gave them to you. That's it. You got to be in your lane in order for you to get the compliment. If you ain't got the compliment, then you don't deserve the other side. And like Ample had the two Jehovah Witnesses, my phone just rang, and another bear witness to this. This a sister just called me, an older sister who's my money mentor now. She was making over $100,000 a month and was like, Kair, that's no money. Let me show you what money is. So I know I'm on the right line right now. So to all them people that's listening to Ampu, y'all better holler at my man. This is, man, listen, and we're showing y'all how to work this Taurus Aquarius square. Y'all need to holler at my man. If you need to see the coach, I gave you my email address. For whatever my needs is, CoachKair.com, that's my website. I'm just everywhere on Instagram, Twitter. I need 64 more friends to reach 5,000 too on my Facebook page. I'm going to max out and shut the door to the arc, Ample. I'm shutting the door to the arc. You either own or you ain't own. I'm going to let some folks drown. If you want to get on the arc, then we're going to sail off on a fantastic voyage. So send me a friend request. But you got to tell me that you heard me on Ample's show. Because if you just send me a friend request and you don't say you was on Ample's show, then you just gonna be. I got 200 people that I'm not accepting because I don't know who they are. That's how I am. I'm pitching you right now. I'm real, real sensitive right now, and I'm making a big move today. Like when I get off this show, like I'm postponing my breakfast and my morning meditation to rock with my man. You're my number two Aquarius because what's his name? Natasha came in and moved you down to second place, but you should be number one. So you in good company. You're in good company. You know what I'm saying? Like she called me too much during the week for you to be number one. I only talk to you three times a month. I talk to her three times a week. So it's all good. You my number one male Aquarius, though. You my number one male Aquarius.
Hey, that's what it is, man. I appreciate it.
Y'all check out the number Swami too, yo. MyBlog.TheNumberSwami.com. MyBlog.TheNumberSwami.com. Just got a new announcement, too. Ample, 4th of July, you and the whole priesthood, Keisha, everybody in Denver, is invited to go on the Coach Kair Lord Strayhorn cruise to the Bahamas on July the 4th. Put it on your calendar. You're leaving out of Florida to the Bahamas. I know, and look, that's not on no equinox or no solstice, so don't tell me you busy that weekend. You can do the ritual with me.
I got an invite on it, but that's the Sirius Festival is what I told her. You know what I mean? But yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, if anybody, yeah, of course, Ample's gonna do something, but I'm gonna be peeping him. See, I'm always watching Ample with a telescope. So he may not talk to me for 3 weeks, but I seen everything he was doing, and I put it in my ritual. I can't even do a testimony for this dude every time something go right because people will think, oh, he's paying him or just that, you know, they cool with each other. His stuff right. Works all the time. His stuff works all the time, period. I went, man, I copied all my joints down because I was with Ampu for one whole year on Solar Power 111, and I can bear witness right now that it works, and I went and copied down. I printed out my own chart and wrote down all my joints in all 12 houses. So I'm fully equipped. I'm fully equipped over here. I went through every email, pulled all them joints out. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was right here doing the happy dance. And if you talk about you righteous or you care about the children and you not on the Toel Love Fund, shame, shame, shame. You want blessings? Then bless somebody else, man. Every time I see that little $13 come out my account, I'm like, yeah. And I'll be down sometimes where I have the cash in my pocket and I don't have it in my PayPal and I have to make somebody spend some money with me. You may see me doing a special on Facebook to my 50% off. I'm trying to get that $13 in my account to make sure I am never late on my Toel. My junk been on for over a year. And get that. That's how I feel about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so, that's real, y'all man.
Y'all ain't on that Toel Fund. Like, that's an ingenious idea. $13 a month, man. And I know that I get blessings from supporting people who are doing what they're doing now. And my last thing is that joint you said about, can somebody be righteous and still be having strife in their relationships at home? Shh, happens all the time. Just because you conscious don't mean you know how to operate in your own personal relationships. Like, The only reason I don't do personal relationship shows for conscious people is because they don't show up. This is sad truth, Ampoo. They don't come. Like, I look at the numbers and it'd be like 110 downloads. But let me have Phil Valentine on there talking about the ancestors and ancient Egypt and you are gods. I have 1,000 downloads. But none of that helps you. None of that helps
you. The Illuminati blew up the marathon.
If the Illuminati blew up the marathon, I'm going to have 10,000 downloads. But if I say conscious people, how you need to relate to your man and woman sexually with honest communication, won't 10 niggas show up. There'd be a whole bunch of white people like, let me listen to that right there. That sounds interesting right there. Y'all won't come out. And then you, Apple put y'all on blast and said, you will not have peace in your household until you got some peace between you and your woman.
Right.
I like Phil Valentine. I like Delbert Blair. I like all of that. But they can't bring peace into your household until you learn how to speak to your man or your woman with complete honesty and transparency. Then you're going to have some peace in your household. Then she'll sit down beside you and say, baby, let's listen to Delbert Blair. Or let's buy 2 plane tickets. Well, you say, honey, we ain't got no money. She said, come on in this bedroom. Come on in this bedroom and get naked. And then we're going to get us 2 tickets. We're going to manifest 2 tickets out of this bedroom. That's when you're balling right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's when you're balling. So Ample cheating, he ain't going to tell y'all all that, but I tell you, get in that bedroom, get creative, you act like you know what you're doing, and know how to plant that thing with that woman in her mental. Then go from the bottom and come up and meet the top. Oh, Jesus. Y'all better get on your transfer. Stop playing. I love Netanyahu. But he real shrewd with how he be holding his information. But I got a video of him to let out with that cat, too. His sister named Omifunke, like, recorded my man up in the bed with 2 ladies for like 1.5 hours just doing an interview, some raw, uncut footage. You know the cut
right.
I keep that exclusive. You know I keep that loud.
Right.
I get that loud. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and by the way, for those of you who don't like Netanyahu because he had the white girl for an assistant, Keep on missing your blessing here. Keep on missing your blessing. Stop getting upset because the white woman said, I'm going to go over there and support that man. Stop getting mad at Kamora Lee because she pulled a power move on you. You know what I'm saying? Stop, pull your lips in and quit whining and complaining and make something happen. You know what I'm saying? This is, and pull you the shit, son. And that's what it's doing.
I appreciate it, man. I definitely
thank
you.
What's up, Jew? What's up, the whole crew? I know Jew listening. That dude. Jew crazy.
Jew
should be
so
busy, man. He shouldn't even be working a day job anymore. He should be overbooked every day. He should have 15, 20 clients every day. That joke is amazing.
Truly brilliant, man. Well, I thank you, Lord. I'm going to take like 1 more call, 2 more, and I'm out of here, man. Get on my Sunday day, man. But I definitely appreciate you, man. It's right on time as usual.
I'm going to text you this silver moon, line my pockets with silver ritual that I got from Sister Myra, too. Anybody who email me and ask me for the 8 gender roles, I'm going to also send you the ritual I'm finna send Ample. And no, I'm not posting it on Facebook, and none of y'all got permission to post it on Facebook. Now,
what it is.
All right, Ample, I'm going to holler at you.
All right, you got it. All right, Lord.
Peace.
Again, our little man, Coach Kyan, man. That dude, super, super, super Taurus, late degree Taurus. I won't give up the numbers, but the full moon is on him. That starts my 12th house, man, literally. You know what I'm saying? So I already know what he's here to do is to help me understand what values is in the spiritual context, man. I got the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister just pressed 1. You there? I just saw you, man. I think I opened your mic up. You there, Drew?
Yeah, what up, man?
Man, what's happening, man?
Chilling, bro. Man, another positive show, man. Great show, man. Show people how to get in tune, get in line with their finances, man. Touch on some of this relationship stuff, man. Shout out to Coach, man. Appreciate the love. But, man, what I wanted to call you on, I think last week, maybe the week before, you asked about something about the Raven showing up.
Yeah. Man,
and you got this dude in my city, man. What you on, man?
Who are we raising?
You know they here playing the Bears today, right?
Uh-huh.
And what they drug in with it is a tornado. It can shut the whole game down.
Stop playing.
I ain't lying. The whole
tornado
dispersal field. Tornado, man, coming through Wilmington, LaSalle County. Here's the kicker. They say it's on the 55 frequency. They say it's coming through at 55 miles per hour. They got photos. It's ripping through, tearing people's cribs up, man. It's on a trajectory to hit Chicago, they saying. Real possibility at about 1:22. So in another 30 minutes or so, man, they saying it might be one come through here and rip through here. But as soon as I saw it, man, I thought about you talking about you looking for something with the Raven. And I know we had done those Super Bowl shows, man, when the lights went out. And it's just interesting, man. And I don't got all the answers, man. I just know the synchronicity when I see it, and I know that it's a message in it somewhere, man, because earlier in the year, you know, you had the 49ers and the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Earlier this year, I think it might have been like week three, the 49ers was playing the Seahawks, and the same thing happened in Seattle. It was a terrible storm that came through then, and they had to stop play. You know what I mean? Now the opposing team who played them in the Super Bowl is here in Chicago, and now a storm / tornado is coming through, and they stopping the game on this front. So these are the only two games this year in the NFL where they've had to stop the game because of weather. You see what I'm saying? With the two teams that were down in Louisiana when the lights went out in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because the 49ers this week, they're playing the New Orleans Saints back in the Superdome where they played the Super Bowl at. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking at this thing trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together, but I know you mentioned something about the Ravens. So the Ravens brought the tornado through. And it's funny because as soon as I saw it on the tube, what I did was, as a matter of fact, they got the tornado siren going off right now. Outside, but anyways, as soon as I saw it, I hit the record button so that I can capture everything just to keep it for the record. And like 2 minutes into the broadcast, they're talking about the storm. You know how sometimes it'd be a glitch in the system where they'd show footage from something else and it'd come back to the screen to what was the normal broadcast.
Right.
But then the first 2 minutes of them talking about the storm, the glitch hit the system, and they showed the footage from the Super Bowl when the lights went out. Then they went right back to the tornado report.
Man, wow.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I got to record it, man. You know what I mean? But I just wanted to tell you that, man, that the Raven came through and brought the tornado through, man.
No, that's whatever you're trying to do. Yep. That's real stuff, man. Yeah, look at that.
Man. We got to get to work on this Midhaven project, bro. Some badass I've been doing.
That's a wrap, man. But see, what did you say when you did that presentation when we was on the parade and we was dealing with the Super Bowl? Now today the full moon, and when we think about Ravens, we think about Ray Lewis. Tell everybody what the name of his – he got a business venture. What's the name of his company?
Oh, man, he opened up a restaurant called the Full Moon Barbecue.
Right.
Now, I don't know why would you name a barbecue spot the Full Moon Barbecue, but it's just a testament, man, to – you know, the same old story that's being repeated, man, from time immemorial until forever, man. You know what I mean? That everything is a sign, everything is a symbol.
how are you going to interpret it, and what does it mean for you in this reality? Because it is a plan, man. The reality it is a plan. And you know, I said all the time, man, the people have turned into the hieroglyphs, man. Human beings, you know what I mean, are now walking, talking archetypes, man. And when you see them doing certain things, naming stuff certain things, it's a grand mythology playing out, man. In today's time, mythology is not dead by a long shot. You know what I mean? It's just, it's you know, it's just being played out through people we call superstars, and even people